ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അശോത്രകഥ ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദികി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്രശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദികി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനകി വൃന്ദാവൻധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് ഹിമനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു വ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്രാം യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോഗാവോദോക്ത ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദ്ദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥ ജലാഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവം പാരാശര്യവയസരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാസംബോധനാഭോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പ്രപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതഭംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്നിതിവേസവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗവദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഗുണത്രയ വിഭാഗയോഗം ദിസ് 14th chapter. Krishna began that saying that the param bhuya pravakshyami, he said jnananam jnanam uttamam, he says, he's saying of all the knowledge the best, out of all the knowledge it is the best. And then Krishna is Prabhupada also mentions that he says the knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. If you read the purport, you will see that first verse itself, Prabhupada is saying that. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. Then at the end he is saying this knowledge is far, far superior to all other processes of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attained perfection. Thus it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. So you can see from that itself, these first verse that it is an important chapter. As we see in the last chapter, also very important, which was the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam. Now, Krishna says this is superior to the knowledge all that he has spoken before. How do you understand all this from Bhagavad Gita? When you look at Bhagavad Gita, basically the idea is to get us free from the grip of the body. That we are stuck in this body, right? Trapped in this body. And we are finding it no way, it is no easy thing to come out of it. And as Krishna said many times in the Bhagavad Gita, as well as in the Bhagavadam, that if you can become free from the body before death, then you are safe. If that has not happened, then it is going to be another body again, come back with another body, right? So all those things are in the background. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see, in the second chapter, Krishna spoke about this, that to prove to us that we are not this body. That was the whole stress on the, in the second chapter mainly, that we are not this body. And he looked at it from different angles to explain to us that the identification with the body, which in Vedantam they call it as adhyasam, that adhyasam is the problem. Actually, we have no connection with the body. That is the truth. The truth is, we have no connection with our own body. We have foolishly thinking that body is mine and it is my body. This is the avidya inside us telling us that way, that this is my body and it is my body, I'll have to look after it at any cost to save it from the death and things like that. Strictly speaking, our actual spiritual identity, Antaryami, has no connection with the body. So, in second chapter, Krishna spoke about this, I am not this body. That principle he has stressed on that when he began Bhagavad Gita, right? Gradually as it progressed, Krishna wanted to make us clear to us that this body is not yours, first of all. First of all, it's not ours. It is owned by the Prakriti, material nature, created according to the Sabhavam of the vasanas inside, prarabdham inside. Based on that, Prakriti has created this body. In other words, body is not mine. We have to drill these principles inside us, especially at the old age. You don't have much time to think about all the other Puranas and other stories and analyzing them. That is not the time for that. That time is over now in life. That's all in the beginning. As you get closer to death, the one thing that should be working in the mind is these principles, fundamental things, what Krishna is saying, that you have to you have to break yourself with this body. Body is not yours. It is foolish to think that this body is mine, and if I can try to get it going somehow, I'll try to keep it healthy. This is all waste of time. It is not going to work. Body is going to go its own way. You can see that body has no, you have no control over your own body. It comes in its own way with its own problems. So, keeping that in principle, in 7th chapter, Krishna spoke where this body is coming from. Bhumirabhanalo vayu khammano buddhi revaja ahangare iti yame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Ashtatha prakriti it is. That means it is coming from the prakriti. It is not you. We didn't want a body like this, but it has come. So that means we are not the decision maker. Somebody else has made the decision what kind of body we should have. So on that principle, this body that was given to us is made from a higher decision. Higher authorities have made the decision that this is the type of body you are going to get. And that body will stay with you as long as that prarabdham is there. And when the prarabdham is finished, the body will go. That's all. It's over with that. So, keeping focused on that point, Krishna has spoken that 7th chapter, Knowledge of the Absolute, that's called Jnana Yoga. It's all centered around this understanding that body is Prakriti. Body belongs to Prakriti. You belong to actually the Avareyam Idastanyam Prakritim Vidhime Varam Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Yedam Dharide Jagat. The Jiva is actually is Antaryami, belongs to Antaryami. And it is the other side. It is not Prakriti, it belongs to Ishvara, in other words. So, having analyzed that in the seventh chapter, in this chapter, Krishna is going to say, who is this Prakriti? What is this Prakriti? Who says who has given us this body? That is the three modes of nature. That is why this Gunatrayam, Gunatrayam means the three modes of nature, Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. This Gunatraya Vibhagam is because it tells us about the origin of this body, where it has come from, and it is on that principle that Krishna is going to talk about that in this chapter. Yajnatva munaya sarve param siddhimido gadaha. Knowing this, people have freed themselves from the bondage once for all and got liberated. Yeah. So we were discussing that before, that nothing to analyze this body, not like the way we are doing things, thinking that I am this body. It is on that context we are scrutinizing everything in our normal life, is it not? Thinking that I am this body, I am living in this world. That fundamental concept has to change. Because why Krishna says so, is that body comes, body goes. It won't stay. And similarly, with the mind also, thoughts are coming, thoughts are changed. Anything that comes has to go. That's the rule. Anything that comes has to go. It cannot stay. So therefore, there is no point in tinkering with that for a long time. It's not going to work. That principle holds good all the time. Anything that comes, it will go. And to think that I can fix it, I can try hard to, that is avidya. That's ignorance. Mula avidya it's called. Very root avidya of all the ignorance is that. Mula avidya. So, similarly, the problem with the mind also. Thoughts will come, thoughts will change, and it will go one day. Mind will go. Mind will also go one day. Same thing with intelligence, same thing with prarabdham also. Comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. Everything comes and goes. So, there is no, Bhagavad Gita is not interested in something that is coming and going. Bhagavad Gita wants to tell us what actually we are. We are that consciousness inside. Pure consciousness, bodham. That's what we are. And that never comes and it never leaves. That's the difference between bodham and rest of it. Bodham doesn't come. We are bodham. We are ourselves bodham. So bodham cannot leave us. It is consciousness cannot leave us. It is with us all the time. That's the difference between bodham and the rest. All other things, gross body, subtle body, senses, everything comes, goes, comes, goes. So you can't treat all of them in the same way. What is permanently with us is this bodham, consciousness. So that's what he was saying yesterday, last time, Sunday also, that body is the only thing what actually we have got is this bodham, nothing else. Other things is not ours, other things are coming and going. So to think, start thinking that all things is ours and I can hold on to that forever is avidya, is avidya. So the thing what we have got permanently, which will never leave us, is this bodham. And if our shraddha, attention is on that, then you know that it doesn't have coming and going. Who? Bodham. Bodham doesn't come and go. Bodham is with us all the time, right? So if our shraddha is on that bodham, then what will happen? So before these thoughts comes in the mind, before that also bodham is there. Chittavritti comes later, right? And it is not coming from outside, it is inside us, as Antaryami. That's that bodham. Antaryami is that bodham, right? Suppose it is coming from outside, that means it will go. It will go, right? That is what Krishna is saying there. Param Siddhim. Yeah, he says there, isn't it? Param Siddhim idam. Param Siddhim ito gataha. Param Siddhi means that, right? Param Siddhi means that this Param Siddhi is our problem because we have lost it. That vastu, what we have supposed to have it all the time, it looks as though we have lost it, right? And we are worried in this world about so many millions of things, but we are not worried about ourselves. This is our situation, right? So,
So many other things we are looking for to get in this world, thinking that we will get this, we will get that, it will stay with us. In that avidya we live in this world. So, to explain that, there are different instances. Because, for example, generally all the knowledge what we get in this world is through the mind and the buddhi, right? Buddhi in Shastram, we have one understanding of buddhi here in the world, outside world. In the Shastram, buddhi is understood in a different way. We probably won't understand that now because of our conditioning with the modern world, right? Modern world thinks buddhi means you are able to think intelligently. They always talk about this intelligence, right? So buddhi generally is divided is broken into Shastram in many ways. Sthula buddhi, sushma buddhi, manda buddhi, shuddha buddhi, and there is one more. Sthulam, sushmam, manda buddhi, shuddha buddhi, and there is one more. Five types of buddhis they talk about it. Yeah. You will see Krishna say in the Bhagavatam also you will find this. Buddhi has been categorized like this. Our buddhi is spoken in these five different states, right? So the problem is that when the buddhi is in the wrong place, everything goes wrong. So sthulam means when it is very gross, not able to get in. It is because we have become so gross that spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding all does not penetrate inside. That is sthula buddhi. Sushma buddhi means when something is spoken from the Shastram, able to capture it without much, in the right way, able to take it. That is the sushma buddhi, that he is able to absorb it, the spirit behind it, especially while studying the Shastram. Then manda buddhi means very difficult to go in because everything is very slow. Takes time to understand in the importance of. That's why in the Bhagavatam you saw that mandasya manda prajnyasya vayo mandayishascha vai nidraya hridayanattam divaja vyarthakarmabhi. And in the first chapter itself in the Bhagavatam, you will see mentioned there that the first chapter itself, he began that with this statement that prayen alpayusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda madayo manda bhagya hubadrudaha. Yeah, manda sumanda madayo, everything is slow, does not get in, takes a long time. Mandaha, everything slowly, cannot capture things easily. Sumanda madayaha manda bhagyaha ubadrudaha prayen alpayusha sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda madayo manda bhagya ubadrudaha. So manda buddhi is like that. So there are different types of buddhis. Then purified intelligence, what they call, is which has become free from all the modes of nature. That is a shuddha buddhi, they call it. So buddhi is like that, and in buddhi also everybody is in different conditions in these five things, buddhi, different types of buddhis. People are all in different types of buddhi people have got. Some are sthula buddhi, some are sushma buddhi, some are manda buddhi, like that. So the buddhi is, if it is not in the right place, then, and that buddhi also is not permanent. This is the interesting thing. Buddhi also is not permanent. Memory is also not permanent. It all can come and go. There is a story about that. That one person, he was a writer. He used to write books, right? And loads of different types of books he wrote, novel and everything. And finally he wrote about his own Atmakatha, his own story, his own biography. He wrote autobiography, right? He wrote, right? After that, he lost his memory. He's got old and he lost his memory, right? So relations comes, he's not able to recognize them. Just like when you have Alzheimer's diseases, how people behave in this world. In the same way, he was also finding it difficult to recognize people. And he was thinking, who is this person who has come? Their own close relations, when they come, he's not able to recognize them, right? So, so when this was the situation like this, a close friend of him came to see him. Very close friend, he came to see him. So they had little conversation, but he was not able to connect with him anything. The friend knew that this person has got problems. So when they started conversation, they are not able to communicate properly each other because he cannot remember anything. This person, old age, right? Because of this Alzheimer's disease, right? And so then what happened was that this man, his wife told him that he has written in his autobiography a chapter about you. Wife remembered that. Wife has read the book and wife saw that he has written on autobiography, he has covered one whole chapter about this friend who had come to see him, whom he has forgotten, right? Yeah. And he mentions that about this, he is a school teacher, this person who has come, he is a school teacher, and he has referring to him about his friendship with him and all in the book when he has written at that time when his memory was good. Now that's all gone, he can't remember anything. So the wife told him, probably you talk to him about that, what you have written in the book, he may remember you then. So what he did was that he brought the book and started reading that chapter, what was written in the book, right? And let's see what happens, he said, whether he will remember anything. So when he read that chapter relating to his friend, he heard everything and then tears started coming from his eyes, hearing all the incidents what happened. And after the whole story was finished, this man is asking, who is this person you are talking about? So this is how it is. This is how, if you give faith on your buddhi and your memory and all that, this is how it will be. You can't trust all these things, right? So, and then he is asking, who wrote this book? That was his next question, right? So, things like that, I mentioned, Prabhupada also mentioned this, that Dr. Radhakrishnan, who wrote so much about Bhagavad Gita and all that, when he was leaving his body in the hospital, they went to see him, and he couldn't even remember his name. Such a great scholar, he couldn't even remember his name, right? So, this is what happens to thing called the brain, thing called the memory, all these things. And there is no surprising at all, we forget ourselves, our personality. What you have forgotten there is the personality, that's what you have forgotten, right? So, if you forget the personality, it is not considered to be a big problem. We consider that as a big problem, isn't it? The Alzheimer's disease, right? So, so this problem with that, right, this happens all in the brain because we have acquired the knowledge through brain and memory and things like that. And that's how we have assimilated everything, right? So, in the personality level, right? But, higher than that, higher loss or a greater loss than that is that we have lost ourselves, our spiritual identity, who we are, right? So, this Alzheimer's disease, in the modern world, they look at it as a very serious thing. It has two sides to it. One thing is that it is a blessing from Krishna. What is that? It is a prarabdham because of this Alzheimer, lot of suffering he will not be feeling from that. He won't feel the suffering from that. That's the positive side of the Alzheimer, right? Because in that period, it always happens mostly close to death, very close to death, right? At that time, they don't have a prarabdham to suffer heavily. If they don't have a prarabdham to suffer heavily, feel distressed in life, Krishna himself does this, that he removes those things from his brain. Antaryami does that. Antaryami does that, right? And it is not a disease as such. It's not a disease. See, the problem is, we are looking at the body as the body is perfect, as though it's supposed to perform well all the time, which you cannot expect from the body. Body, that's what I'm saying, body is not ours. It is coming from Prakriti. Prakriti has created it under certain conditions, based on our prarabdham, and it will only function according to that. You cannot manipulate that. Little bit adjustments here and there you can do with treatment and all that. But it is not a disease, this Alzheimer, right? In our vision, we think it is a serious disease, that and all. So, but in Krishna's eyes, it is not a disease. It is not a disease, right? Antaryami decided altogether that his problems are solved. His suffering due to remembering so many things, those problems has been taken out from him by taking out the memory itself, right? But at the same time, the body has to stay some more time. Prarabdham is not finished, therefore it is staying, right? So, knowing that without the buddhi working, let the body stay in this world. Antaryami has decided, and therefore this happens, right? So, and it is not a disease, right? So they will remain stably in this world because they can't remember anything. They don't remember anybody. They don't remember anything from the past. But the body will stay in this world. But therefore, often you will notice that people who have got Alzheimer's, they will remain happy in this world sometimes because they don't suffer from anything. They can't remember anything. Only if you remember, you suffer from that. But because they don't remember anything, they are not suffering from that, right? So, but for others it will be a problem, who are looking after them. It's a problem, and that's their prarabdham. Those who are looking after them, it's their prarabdham, then they have to go through that. Yeah. So, but more than that, all these things, we have a higher loss. What is that? This knowledge, the soul, or the bodham. Awareness, self-realization, right? We have got buddhi, we have got the mind, we have got the senses, but we can't find the person. This is our situation now. We can't find the person. Where is he? Or she, where is he? We don't know where he is, right? The owner has gone, but the house is there, the car is there, and the everything is there, but the owner is missing. This is our present situation. We don't know who we are, but we are busy with everything else in this world. You see? So, the real us, who is Krishna inside, Antaryami, that connection has grown from for us, right? So, only when that comes back, we can be in the properly situated. If you look in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, when Sukadeva Goswami came in the 19th chapter, when he comes in, right, there is a description about him, and it says there that the, about him, what he says there is Nijalabha Tushta. They have used the word there, Nijalabha Tushta. You will see in the first canto when he arrived there. So that Nijalabha Tushta means one who has got it back, one who knows who he is, right? So that is the situation, Nijalabha Tushta. Yeah, it is in verse number 25, 119:25. Tatra abhaval bhagavan vyasaputro edruchayanga atamano anapeksha. Alakshalingo Nijalabhatushto Mridaschabhalai Avadudhaveshaha. Alakshalingo Nijalabhatushtam. Nijalabhatushtam means he has got that back, not like us, who knows who he is. That's what it means, right? Tatra Abhaval Bhagavan Vyasaputra, Vyadivyasa Maharshi's son. Yadruchaya, by whose icha? Krishna's icha. Yadruchaya, Gam Adamano Anaveksha, one who has no desire. Free from all desires. Alakshalingam. He has no direction where he is going. Nijalabha Tushto. Vridascha Bhalai Avadhuta Vesha. He arrived in that way. So you can see this, that in the Bhagavadam, the position of those who have got themselves back, those who have got this spiritual identity back, right? So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. Yadu Maharaj, he has got all facilities. Krishna is talking about him in the 11th canto. He is our ancestor, he says, Yadu. That's why Krishna is called Yadava. This Yadu, you can say Krishna's great-great-great-granddad, few generations before, right? And so there, Krishna talks about him with a great respect about this Yadu. And in the, and if you look at the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto begins with about this, referring to Yadu, right? Why is that? Because Yadu is saying there, Kathito vamsha vistara bhavada soma suryayoho jatyam shobhaya vamshyanam charidam paramalbhudam yadoscha dharmashilasya nidaram muni satama tatravamshena vadirnasya vishnor viryani shamsana. The first two verses in the 10th canto. Kathito vamsha vistaram bhavada soma suryayoho jatyam shobhaya vamshyanam charidam paramalbhudam yadoscha dharmashilasya nidaram muni satama tatramshena avadirnasya vishnu viryani shamsana. Viryani shamsana. Right? So, so Krishnavadaram, appearance of Krishna begins like that. Yadu has realized the secret of dharmam. Right? And because it is in that dynasty Krishna appeared. Soma vamsham. Right? So, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shuka Brahmarshi, tell us about Krishna, Krishna Katha, right? And giving importance to that, and but Yadu's name is specifically mentioned there in this chapter. Yadu's name is specifically mentioned. Nobody else's name is mentioned, right? What was the speciality about Yadu, right? He got a great opportunity for a great satsangam in his life. Yeah? And that is why that mentioned that yadoscha dharmashilasya. Because he was so much into dharmam, therefore he got that opportunity for satsangam. Yadoscha dharmashilasya. Never spoke about anybody else in that lunar dynasty. Only about Yadu. Right? And so, Parikshit Maharaj, only one name was mentioned there. Solar and lunar dynasties were spoken in the first words, Kathito Vamshavistaram Soma Suryayoho, and then he spoke about Yadu. Right? So, one big satsangam happened, and the reason for that satsangam is that he was not happy with his position in life, yeah. He had big kingdom and he had big palaces, many wives, a lot of wealth, everything. But in spite of that, he was not peaceful inside, right? So you can see that in this world, very, very wealthy people, very, very wealthy people, and people in big, big positions, they don't have shanti inside. Whether it's American president, Indian prime minister, inside is all in a disturbed state. It's not surprising at all, because that is how this world is, right? So, for them to stay in shanti and sandosham or happiness, it is difficult, right? Always under tension, stress inside, depression, so many things. And he wandered around, and that's how he meets up with Dattatreya, right? In the Ekadasham, right? So, this description of Salsangam happening to Yadu in the Bhagavadam is a very important part, because Krishna himself brings that in to tell us about the situation, yeah? So, Ekanath Swami also in his Srimad Bhagavadam is talking about Avadhuta is talking about that. He is a young person, he is not conscious of his body, and he is happy like children, small children, totally have always very blissful, right? At the same time, he's not a child. Just looks like a child, but childlike nature, but not childish. Childlike nature, but not childish, right? And so that is due to his state. Eganath Swami talks about that, right? So this Atma Tattvam, knowledge of the self, if one gets it early in life, it's the best. But later on, it becomes more difficult to change that setting inside, to reset it inside. It's very difficult. Once some kind of knowledge has gone in, then to replace it with something else is more difficult than rather than giving it up straight in the first instance. Right? So, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Upanishads, and similarly, like Viveka Chudamani and all that, talk about that in this way, that you shouldn't study a lot of books, only a few books, which is specifically related to the soul, to really help us to understand the soul, right? And in the modern world, what happens is that we read all sorts of books. Everybody is writing books in spiritual life now. And we think that, and there is printers and publishers to publish everything. And it's in the market, and when you walk in, you find all kinds of books there about spiritual life and self-realization. People who don't have any idea about it, right? So the thing is that one shouldn't read all the books. That's the rule. Only you should read those books written by realized persons. Only by realized souls, right? Or who are perfect in their life, who have realized the truth. If they have written something, you can read that. But otherwise, one shouldn't read other books. That is the rule, right? You see, modern way of looking at things is, for us, the author is not important. What we say is that, if the book is good, I will read it. This is how we buy the books. We say, author we don't look at, we don't know many authors, but when we go to the shop or when we go into the places in the book where the books are sold, you'll buy the book, and if somebody has told you that book says like this, it's very good, you'll buy the book without thinking about the author, right? In the Shastram, they say, book is not important, author is important. It's the other way. You see how everything has gone changed. The author is important, book is not important. If the author is not realized or advanced spiritually, whatever he has written is all rubbish. Just bin it. Don't give value to it. Just because it is printed in the very flashy paper and it is printed in a nice printing press with colored pictures and photographs and all that doesn't mean that it has some substance. It is not going to help you. In the Vedic traditions, the author is important, not the book what is written is important, right? So, because after some time, you are hearing these things from, not only from the books, you are hearing from others as well, with whomever you are listening to, right? So, you have done Shrodavya, Mandavya, Nididhyasidavyam, Upanishad says, right? And if properly, if Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam happens, then after a certain stage, you don't need books. Books are not so important. Books are only in the beginning to help you to get into the path. Once you have understood the message, like for example, Bhagavad Gita, you have understood what Krishna is saying, once or twice you read it, you heard it, and then you have some idea from Bhagavad Gita, and then making it as your own is more important. Not that whole life you keep on reading books after books after book, and keep on thinking and forgetting it after that, and then taking it to another book, and then forget that. What's the use of this? It's a waste of time. Right? So, if you keep on reading books, what will happen? You will go crazy at the end. You will get confused completely. That's not the proper method. Shabda jalam maharanyam, chitta brahmana karanam. Viveka Chudamani says. Shabda Jalam Maharanyam. It's a big forest, these books. Chitta Brahmana Karanam. It will drive you crazy. Yeah. So, till you get to the message properly, you read the books. After that, books are not everything. Books has done its part. It's up to us now to take it over and do what's rest within ourselves, right? So, Panditiyam, it's not, the idea is not to become a scholar or anything like that. Yeah. Panditiyam is Nirvidya. Nirvidya means if it has created an impact on you, the books, like Vairagyam, Bhakti, Jnanam, if these things have done, then the books have done its job. Yeah. So, Bahyena Tishtavit. So, Bahyena Tishtavit. Not like to sit like small children. In other words, Jnana Balam, the strength of knowledge inside, is having its effect within, right? So, able to take shelter of the knowledge, like Krishna has spoken so many things here in this chapter, which we are discussing, right? As he is mentioning, Prabhupada has also mentioned the same thing. He is saying that generally in the material world, in the second verse, in the 14th chapter, he is saying there, generally in the material world, whatever knowledge we get is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. Knowledge which is not contaminated by the three modes of nature is called transcendental knowledge. As soon as one is situated in that transcendental knowledge, he is on the same platform as the Supreme Person. What Krishna is saying in an indirect way, that you will realize that your identity is also a Santaryami. That realization, that's what he is saying in that way. He has put it like that, right? So, if we don't take shelter of the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, then if we are not taken shelter of that knowledge, then this is of no use to us. Bhagavad Gita is of no use to us, right? Instead of taking shelter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have taken shelter of so many other things. That is where we are now. That we have sufficient money in the bank, and then making sure the body is very healthy. That means you are taking shelter of the body, right? Taking shelter of a home, nice house, and then family, and things like that. We will keep on taking shelter of this throughout life. Bank balance, body, family, home, and things like that. And taking shelter of this throughout life will end up in disaster. That's what he's saying there. End up in disaster, right? In such a situation, distress will come again. Distress will come again. If you have not taken shelter of the knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, then whatever you may have, it will all come and go. Because all those things mentioned belongs to that category. Comes and goes. Body comes and goes. Home comes and goes. Family comes and goes. Bank balance comes and goes. Right? So, if you have not shown respect to the knowledge what Krishna has given to us, ignoring it means not respecting it, isn't it? Krishna has told us certain things, and if you ignore it and continue doing what you are doing, that means you are not showing respect to Krishna's words. That's what it is. Disrespectful it is. Right? So, if you do that, everything will go one day, right? If you are not shown the respect. Just like they say, sometimes you get a salagrama shila. Salagrama shila, right? Salagram is just a stone. If you look at it, it's just a stone. Shastram says Vishnu is present in that stone, in salagrama shila, right? So, it is responsibility to worship the salagrama shila, saying that Vishnu is present in that, right? So, you don't have to bring Vishnu into salagrama shila. Salagrama shila, Vishnu is present, right? Then, if you have worshipped salagrama shila with that understanding, then whenever you see salagrama shila elsewhere, you will feel naturally a respect will come from inside, right? Aradhana samskara janya bhavo prayam. So, aradhana samskaram, that means worshipping and creating a culture like that, that bhavam comes inside. For some people, this is all observations, Purva samskaram, what he has cultivated in life before, will stay with him for longer time. Purva samskaram, right? And for some time. And so one thing has to make a decision that whatever you have put a lot of effort in life, right, and you have used your mind and intelligence, and what you have acquired through that, and this body, this mind, buddhi, will hold it for some time. Whatever knowledge you have acquired in this world, from outside, from the world outside, that this mind and body, intelligence and all, will hold it for some time, right? And that is why you have to study Bhagavad Gita seriously. Only then you will understand what Krishna is saying. In the 5th chapter, Krishna mentions this. Tad buddhaya, tad altmanam, tad nishta, tal parayana, gachandi aviravartim, jnana nurdhuta kalmasha. Famous words in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is like that. It's a science itself. Only thing is, we are not able to relate with it. That's our problem. That we are reading Bhagavad Gita like we are reading chemistry and physics. And you are thinking that you have understood it. But actually, it's not so simple like the way we think about it. Krishna is saying, tad buddhaya, tad alpana, tad nishta, tal parayana, gachandi, apuravartim, jnana nurdhuta kalmashaha. Yeah? So, these things, you got to go into it deeply, into these verses, and the positive side, the negative side of it. Yeah? And then knowing all that, and then the sadhana has to be done, and gradually, whatever it is done, then it will bring you to that state, what Krishna is saying, nishta. Tan nishta, tal parayana. Yeah? So, in the field of mind, in the field of intelligence, in the field of senses, in the field of body, these are all different planes of existence. We exist like that, is it not? Sometimes we are in the influence of the grip of the body, means you are in the field of the body, in the plane of body. Sometimes if you are influenced by the senses, that means you are existing in the field of the senses. Sometimes you are in the field of the mind, when the mind is influencing you strongly. That means all your thoughts and emotions, everything is in the mind, is captured you so strongly, that means you are existing in the field of the mind. Sometimes some people are existing in the field of intelligence. So you could exist in all the different planes, in the plane of the gross body, in the plane of the mind, plane of the senses, plane of the intelligence, in whichever way it is, right? So, when we realize in all planes that we are actually the Antaryami inside, that is the realized state, that then this body identification is not there separately from us. That in body also he realizes as the self, and the mind, and the senses, everything. So this experience that we are consciousness, bodham, and it fills in all other fields as well, fields of existence, that we are consciousness. It, that awareness comes to all fields of existence. And even when you are doing vyavaharam in this world, and without thinking that I am that separately a person, not knowing that, nija bodha rupam. It is called nija bodha rupam, right? Only then you come to that stage. That means in all fields of existence, your awareness has come to that stage, that your pure consciousness, bodham, inside, right? If that happens, then at the time of death, it won't disturb you. That is the state what Krishna is calling it as brahmistiri. Brahmistiri means the bodily identification has practically gone. At the moment we are thinking the body, mind, things, everything is separate. But this awareness has gone into all those levels of existence. Yeah. So, when Yadu met Dattatreya, in the Agadisham. He has seen a person like that, in whom body, mind, intelligence, senses, all these things doesn't have any more individual existence. In other words, his consciousness has permeated into all of that. He was fully conscious who he is. That Antaryami realization was perfect in him, right? Yadu understood this when he met Dattatreya. Remember Ekadasham, right? So that is the blessing of Antaryami. Antaryami's blessing is that when you see someone who is in that state, able to recognize it like that, that's a big blessing. To see someone but able to realize his state of existence, right? So in order to recognize that within us, for a conditioned soul, Yadu's state was like that. Yadu was a rich person, emperor, and wealthy, and then not happy inside, and is looking for happiness. And he was able to see this in Dattatreya, seeing Dattatreya's state. And he was asking Dattatreya that, why are you so happy? Yeah. So, the thing is this, that people like them, like Dattatreya, you cannot understand with your mind. You have to have another instrument inside, which is not the mind. Only when that works, you will be able to understand Dattatreya, people like Dattatreya, right? With the mind, you won't be able to understand. Suppose that Yadu had with his mind, he observed this and understood that it's wrong. Yadu didn't. Something else inside, higher than the mind, told Yadu that this person is in a realized state, purely in the consciousness, state of consciousness, right? So what it means is that you won't be able to understand that with the mind. Mind can help you to, if you watch a cinema or a serial or something like that, or if you are hearing some nice music, right? But, or if you eat some tasty prasadam, right? Or if you meet people whom you like or whom you don't like, you will recognize, right? Or happiness, distress. These things mind will find out, right? But this Sushma Vidya, able to recognize in someone his spiritual position, like the way Dattatreya was identified by Yadu, that is not possible by ordinary people. Ordinary people cannot do that. That Sushma Vidya or the Brahma Vidya, that is only possible through intuition. You know that word, intuition? What does it mean?
Comes automatically,
from where?
From inside, from there.
If you look at the dictionary, the word intuition, it's good to know that intuition, what it means, right? Ability to understand something instinctively without the need for conscious reasoning. That's the most important thing. Sometimes we get confused with all that, whether it is intuition or whether it's coming from the mind. Sometimes you could get confused with that, is it not? You may not know where it's coming from. Even if it's coming from Antaryami, you may sometimes think it is coming from the mind. How do you know that? That's why intuition. That's why they use that word intuition, right? So that intuition is the one which is actually comes from the Antaryami, no doubt. But Antaryami has to take you in that direction and get it recognized inside. Sometimes intuition comes, but you get confused then, whether it could be right or wrong. That mind, all so many things in this world we get to see. But many times we may not even know that, whether it is true or not, right? But realized souls, similarly spiritual master and all, are recognized through this intuition. It happens in that way, right? In other words, that recognition is not coming from the mind. It's not coming from the mind. It comes from Antaryami. So, it worked for Yadu. In Yadu's case, that's what has happened. So, Yadu goes up to him and asks him, "Who are you?" Yadu is wandering around with his assistants on riding the horse from the palace, just like a hunting expedition, I think, in the forest. So, and then he sees this Dattatreya lying on top of a rock, completely naked, and not complaining, in a very happy state. So the king asked him, "Who are you? And you look very blissful and happy, right? And even in the middle of all this, in this forest, right? You are very peaceful. What is that makes you in that way?" Yeah. So you will see this discussed in the Ashtavakra Gita also, where Janaka and Ashtavakra has a conversation, and he mentions there, "Jana samohedi advaidam pashyado and aranya devasam vinam." You are still situated like, how is this possible? Janaka asking Ashtavakra, right? So, what is the reason behind this happiness, that you are undisturbed by anything in this world? Normally in this world, suppose somebody is happy, and if I go and ask him, "Why are you so happy?" That looks very strange, isn't it? You can ask a person who is in distress, "Why are you so unhappy? Why are you distressed?" But if somebody is happy, you don't go and ask him, "Why are you so happy?" That looks very odd, is it not? He may answer in a different way, but then to ask someone that, "Why are you so happy?" If as though I have no right to be happy, it will give you an impression like that, right? So, if he is crying, you can ask, right? But here, our Dattatreya, without any reason, he looks very happy. He looks very happy, right? So, this adhyalpam, or spiritual life, right, is like that, yeah? Is like that. lot of people, you can see great swamis and yogis, lot of people behind them, following them. Swamis and the yogis, right? And so you cannot find anywhere people remaining happy like that, right? Bhagavatam says two kinds of people are happy in this world. Yeah? Two kinds of people are happy in this world. If you look at the third canto, you will see this mentioned. Who are the people happy in this world? Seventh chapter, verse 17. Yascha mutasamo loke, yascha buddhe param gadaha, ta ubhau sukhame deve klishyandi atandirito janaha. Famous words, Vidura saying this. Yascha mutasamo loke, yascha buddhe param gadaha, ta ubhau sukhame deve klishyatyandirito janaha. This is Vidura's conclusion after he wandered around all over. He is saying like that. That yascha mutasamo loke, people who are very idiots, who doesn't think much, just busy with the work, earning money, enjoying a little bit in this world. Mutasamo. Yascha mutasamo loke. Yeah. Yascha buddhe param gadaha. Right. So, very stupid idiots without any brain, right, they will be happy in this world. They're always happy in this world. Because they're so stupid that they can't think anything. About life, they never think. As long as money is coming in, family life is okay, and sense gratification is going on, everything is fine. Happy, they're happy. Always happy, right? Then there are people, who have gone behind, above intelligence, who have crossed intelligence. Right? They will also be happy. It is those who are using the buddhi and the mind and living in this world, they are the one who suffers. Yascha mutatamo loge, yascha buddhe param gadaha. Yeah? So, the ones who are in between, their position is very troublesome. They suffer in this world. Suppose you have crossed over buddhi, that means you have come to the spiritual platform. You have crossed over buddhi means you have come to the spiritual platform. They are also happy because they seen what this means, this life in this world, body means, right? So the one who are in between these two, it is they that Vidura is saying like this. They are the one klishyanti andaride janaha, right? So the thing is that we cannot go any more down from here where we are, right? Somehow or the other we have to try hard to go above the buddhi, right? It's no point in saying I'm not able to understand anything. We have a problem, it has to be treated. And if our disease gets worse, more, right, if you don't treat it now, there will be more distress in the future. We will have more distress in the future. That's what is going to happen, right? So, this treatment, what you have to do now, for that, the restrictions, pathyam, is Brahmavidya. Right? So, you will notice this. It is not like allopathy treatment. Ayurvedam treatment is different. They have a whole different concept about the body. So, therefore, their method of treatment is also different. You got to know that difference. I mean, we are thinking that Ayurvedam is a substitute for allopathy. Allopathy means modern medicine, right? It is not like that. Allopathy sees the body in one way. Ayurvedam sees in a different way, right? So, in Ayurvedam, the doctors, I'm talking about the traditional method, they give you the medicines and they will try, and if the disease doesn't get cured, what they will say is that give this medicine of Vedandam to them, Vedanda Aushadam, right? So, for some people, the Ayurvedam takes into account this one thing, that if your lifespan is finished, then the medicine won't work. You see? If your lifespan is finished, then the medicine is not going to work, right? And at that time, what do you do with a patient? The modern method is what? What do you do in the modern days? People are happy if they can, what do they call it? Dying in a... helping you to die. What is that called? Not palliative care. What death is called?
Euthanasia,
that's right. Euthanasia, yeah. This is the modern approach. Allopathy's approach is, there is now, they are still debating whether you should allow person to die. Euthanasia, you give that person euthanasia. And people are going to Switzerland, apparently. In Switzerland, you can get it. So, patients from here who don't want to die, whose treatment is not working, and they are very sick, and they want to die. So they go to Switzerland, and if you have money, you can go and get it done. Job is finished. So this is the modern system, right? Ayurvedam, what do? They sense that the treatment is not working. Medicine is not having any more effect. You give them the knowledge of the Vedantam to them at that time, right? And and if that may not work, because that's not going to change the situation, but there is one thing, if the person feels happy knowing that knowledge of the soul at that moment, it may give him some happiness. So, in Ayurvedam, there are four or five things taken into account at that point, right? One, the knowledge about the disease, and secondly, the knowledge about the medicines, and then anuvana vijnanam, and the restrictions. In this way, for example, let me explain what that means, right? You know the disease, you know what it is, that is destroying your body, right? And you have the knowledge of the medicine also, what Ayurveda has prescribed, right? So then what you should take, eat, and what you should not eat, right? Because that is an important thing, even at that stage, right? It is because of that, this chapter is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Actually, it is Apathya Vicharam. In other words, Pathyam is the restrictions. Apathyam means what can be given in this situation, right? What can be given in this situation? That's called Apathya Vicharam. What will give you, what is Pathyam? Pathyam means what is that allowed and what restrictions you have, right? What is not allowed, Pathyam, what is not Pathyam, right? And to our Swarupam, to our self, real self, for that, what will bring peace? What will put us into our Swarupam, right? For example, try to understand this. In our Swarupam, here, we have this gross body, right? This gross body is air, bile and mucus from Ayurvedan point of view. Vatam, Pittam, Kapham. Air, bile and mucus, right? And these things are called Tridosham. Dosham it is called, right? So, what they will do is, they will try to find out the cause of the disease. And in Ayurveda, there is only these three things. Vatam, Pittam, Kapham. They look at the body totally different than the way allopathy sees that. Yeah. Then what they are saying is that there is not another dosham. It's only these three, one of these three. Vatam, Pittam, Kapham. Air, bile or mucus. Somewhere some imbalance has happened. And that's what is causing the problem in the body, right? So, you have to remember, Ayurveda also, the rishis are behind it. It has come through the rishis, right? They are saying that, whatever you may say about your disease, in allopathy you have so many names now. They will give you a name for every disease. And if you ask anything about it, they also are helpless about it. What, how to do the treatment, and they also, they have their own way of doing things, which is quite different, right? So, but rishis are saying, Ayurvedam, saying, that there's only these three problems, air, bile and mucus. That's this body. And this air, bile and mucus, it's somewhere its balance is wrong. Somewhere its balance is wrong. And we may not fully understand, because it is too subtle for us to understand that. But from Ayurvedan perspective, these three things, air, bile and mucus, its imbalance is causing all the diseases in the body. Right? So, whatever may be the name of the disease you may say, they will say that it belongs to one of the three problems. Right? And what are they? They are sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they are. This air, bile and mucus, they are nothing but, they come from these three modes of nature. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, right? These three gunam, air, bile and mucus, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they come through this body in the form of air, bile and mucus. That is how the three modes of nature are present in the body like that. Air, bile and mucus. That is in our gross body, stula shariram, right? So, Yadu saw this Dattatreya, and Dattatreya spoke to him, right? Yadu asked him that, you are a very happy person, what is it, keeping that, right? And his answer was that, happiness, bliss is my nature. My nature is that, because self-realization makes a person not to identify with the body anymore. He is identifying with the Antaryami. And therefore, Antaryami's nature is always blissful. Sat Chit Anandam, it is, right? So, because that is his Swarupam, right? And when he said that, what it means is, our actual Swarupam is that. Sat Chit Anandam. That's our actual Swarupam. But at the moment, we are not feeling that. We don't feel Sat, we don't feel the Chitta, we don't feel the Anandam either. Is it not? That's our present state. Yeah. So, their point is that the bliss is present in all of us, Anandam, and it is not has to come from outside. All what is stopping that, blocking that, has to be removed from inside. How do you do that? And then Dattatreya said, I learned this from different people, personalities. That's how that 24 spiritual masters was spoken, right? So, little things he has picked it up from different people, right? And I learned this, that how I could stay away from the drishyam and go back to drikka, the seer. And so this information, this knowledge is important in understanding this chapter. Yadu's answer there, right? So, so this logic is required, common sense, right? In our, within us also, the greatest guru is this common sense, what we call it as common sense, right? That means able to see the distress of other people in this world, and learning from them, right? So that you don't fall into the same situation. In this way, he talked about the 24 spiritual masters, right? And he said there, I escaped from a lot of suffering because what I learned from them. Remember? What he learned from the different 24 spiritual masters, right? And with their help, I removed the obstacles in realizing. And I am situated in the platform of the self, he said. And I am traveling in this world with that realization. That's how he mentions that, right? Prithivi Vayurakasham Abogni Chandramanjavi. That's the verse he begins with, that, the 24 spiritual masters. 5 material elements he learned from them. He began with that. Prithivi Vayurakasham Abogni Chandramanjavi Kapodam Ajagara Sindhu Patanga Madhudarguja Harina Madhu Amina Pingala Kurata Arbhaga Kumari Sharaval Sarpam Urnanabha Subeshak Urnanabhi Subeshakrat. The 24 spiritual masters mentioned there, right? So, he says that, Dattatreya says, I have removed all my problems from these 24 spiritual masters, and finally he spoke about his own body, Deham. Nashiram avastidam uthidam va. This body is also not permanent. So you see how Dattatreya looked at his body? That he never allowed the body and took care of the body in a way that never thought that it is his body. Body is not mine. That big principle, it is very difficult to drill it in, because whole life we thought this is my body. Is it not? We all have this problem. And that is what is prompting us even now to take care of the body so much, running after so many different things, thinking that this may help, that may help, even though it is not mine. And when it is not your body, how can you donate it to somebody? Body has come from the Prakriti. Prakriti has put it on us. Prakriti put it on our spiritual identity, Antaryami, which is our actual identity. That is why in the 7th chapter, Krishna very clearly spoke to us that you are this, the rest is all Prakriti. And that Prakriti brought it, Prakriti will take it back. After that, what Prakriti does with that is Prakriti's business, not ours. But when the body is given to us, because we think this body is mine, from that avidya, I am doing all, making all the other decisions. Organ donations and body for, you know, all kind of things what we do in this world. This is not anybody's fault. It is a society we are living. In ignorance we are living. Society will only teach you this kind of things, avidya. All avidya comes from the society. Society is a repository of all the avidya. And all that avidya we are continuously consuming that, forgetting that what the rishis have told us. Rishis are saying to us, body is not yours. And Krishna wants that one should develop that understanding as quickly as possible in life, so that at the time of death you don't suffer so much from the body. Whereas if you have taken care of the body whole life, thinking that this is my body, you will be very depressed and distressed at the time when you lose the body, when the body gives the trouble. And the fact is also that body is not ours. So therefore, Krishna in this chapter, Shabdhatra Gunatraya Bhaga Yogam, is talking about this, that body is owned by the Prakriti, not our body. It has come to us due to some karma what we have done in the past. A particular type of body Prakriti has created and given to us. And it doesn't mean that you have to completely ignore the body. When it is with you, you try to keep it in a way that it can function to the best possible. But that alone is not the whole purpose behind that. Yeah. So what he said was, Yadu said was that I am fully situated in my spiritual identity, Andaryami, and therefore it is always, I am fully conscious of that, and that means my existence, he says, my existence, and that is Atma, not the body, mind or the senses. So therefore, you are also in the same way, Dattatreya says to Yadu. But only problem is you are thinking that you are this body, mind and everything, and you are sitting like, behaving like that. But actually you have not changed, become body, mind or anything. Body, mind and everything has come from the Prakriti and you have identified with that. That's all it is, right? So, just because you have seen a snake in the rope, does not mean that the rope has become a snake. Just because you have seen a snake in the rope, doesn't mean the rope has become the snake, right? So, and if that rope won't bite you, and there is no poison in that, right? Similarly, even though we are the Andaryami inside, because the false identification with the body, mind and the senses, and you may see all these things in me, right, that bodham inside, Andaryami, does not mix with the body, mind, intelligence, senses. It doesn't. It still remains separate from that. It still remains separate from that, right? Nitya Siddham, right? So, and that thing, what you realize it like that, that the connection is not there. Connection is not there between Andaryami, our real self, and all this body, mind, intelligence, senses and all that. The one Andaryami is our permanently what we are. Permanently. Right? And it doesn't mix with the body, mind, senses. And realizing that permanent identity is what Krishna is saying there. Param siddhi mito gataha. See that last line? Param siddhi mito gataha. Param siddhi. That is the highest realization, he's saying here. Right? So, after knowing this, one should start the meditation on that, on these principles what Krishna has spoken. Yeah? Knowing that, I have nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind, the senses or anything, and start beginning meditation on that, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, and even while doing vyavaharam, able to maintain that. Right? In other words, this knowledge, what Krishna is saying here, that yel jnatva munaya sarve param siddhimito gadaha, they achieve that state. Initially, you tell the mind about this, that it is like that, that I am not this body, I am not this mind, but instead I am pure consciousness, soul. Till you get that realization, you have to keep talking to yourself, that I am not this body, I am not this mind, body is not mine. All these thing you have to keep repeating to yourself. And till that happens, this meditation has to continue. Dhyana yoga. So, for people who cannot think about it, vicharam. Vicharam means able to absorb in that, in this way of mananam, nididhyasanam, who cannot do that, dhyanam is the process. Dhyanam means constantly repeating yourself, to yourself, that this is my situation, that I have nothing to do with this body. Body is not mine. Always distancing yourself from the body. Always distancing yourself from the body. When the body problem comes, I know it will be very difficult because we got conditioned by identifying with the body throughout life. Therefore, at the old age, when somebody tells us that it is not like that, it becomes a bit difficult suddenly to switch like that from the body to, because our normal tendency propensity is due to what the society has taught us. Get medicines, get to doctors, and then worry about it all the time, thinking that what can be done. But the problem, Krishna is saying to us that when you have, the main mistake is that very fundamentally we have got it wrong. Very foundation itself is wrong. Foundation itself is that we are not the body. And body is not mine. It has come from outside. Me, the real Antaryami, is my spiritual nature. Right? So, and then all other things, what Krishna says, I don't have birth, I don't have death, and also, I am pure consciousness, like the space, pure it is. That's my nature. And Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure Chaitanyam, that's my Swarupam. Let mind will work, mind will cause different ideas, it will come. But you have to keep telling the mind all this time, when it is, when we are in this Adhyatmam, right? So, like lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, these things is not in me, it is not my nature, right? I am pure, because that's the truth. And but if you keep saying all the time, I got angry, I'm angry, I've got lusty, or I got greedy, and all these things, it will become more and more deeper inside us, right? But in our Swarupam, none of these things exist, right? I am pure Chaitanyam, Brahmam. And we say we are this, we are that, some names we say. I am this name or that name, I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am this, I am that, all these things, right? And that is all, just like a cinema actor, how he puts his clothes on, dresses on, for different roles, what he is playing. In the same way, a person, because he has dressed up in the cinema, in the movie, as a particular actor, he is not going to become like that. But if you keep thinking that I am Brahmam, nothing to do with this, then you will become Brahman, because in the movie you won't become like that. But if you actually, because actually we are Brahman. We are Brahman, right? So, unfortunately we have taken some wrong identity and living on that identity and thinking and telling everyone. And if you keep on telling like that, you will become like that. Yeah? So, remember that story I mentioned before, that when Nehru was Prime Minister, right? Some people identified with him and they said they are Nehru, Jawaharlal Nehru, right? And Nehru went into one mental hospital and he saw one patient there. So he asked him, what's your name or something, right? He mentioned something, right? And so he asked Nehru, what's your name? that man, he was in a mental hospital, isn't it? So Nehru said, I am Nehru, he said. He says to him that, I was also thinking like that, Nehru. So he thought that Nehru is also having a problem with this wrongly. So that is how it is, this identification thing, yeah? So, and he told him, this man in the mental hospital told Nehru, that when I came here to this hospital, I had the same disease. Now I got cured. You will also get cured soon. He told real Nehru. He told him like that, right? This happened at early days, right? So what he said is like that. Yeah, it is a fact. After some time, we will also become free from our problem, thinking what we are now. It's also a disease only, like Nehru disease got, that man got it in the same way, right? Now we are saying, I am this, I am that, and so many. It's also the madness in us, right? Yeah. Maham manishyo nacha deva yakshav na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra na brahmachari na grihi na vanastam bichur na chaham nija bodha rupam. Astamalaka is the first verse. Astamalaka was a young boy, 13-year-old. His father felt that the son is not getting educated properly. He is behaving very erratic. And brought him to Acharya Swamiji. Acharya Swamiji, seeing him, asked him, who are you? And this is the answer he got. That, Naham manishyo nacha deva yakshav. Na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra. Na brahmachai na grihi na vanastam. Vanasta. Bichur na jaham. Bichur na jaham. Nija bodharupam. I am pure consciousness. I am not Brahmana, I am not Kshatriya, I am not Vaishya, I am not Shudra. I am not Brahmachari, I am not Grahastha, I am not Vanaprastham, I am not Sannyasam. And Naham Manish, I am not a human being. I am not a demigod. I am not a Yaksha. Naham Manishyo, Naja Deva Yaksha. So then who am I? Nija bodharupam. Pure consciousness. So that is the healthy state. Current state, what we have now, is the diseased state. Identifying with so many things, right? So, bodham. So, this knowledge is for realization. Is for realization, not for vyavaharam. In vyavaharam, you can't use this knowledge, right? Keeping this knowledge inside, in vyavaharam, you have to conduct the vyavaharam in avidya. Vyavaharam is avidya. Keeping this knowledge inside, you have to do the vyavaharam. Advaitam you cannot bring into vyavaharam. It won't work, right? So, that is why when Yoga Vasishtam, when Vasishtha spoke this to Ramachandra in Yoga Vasishtam, right? He says, then you keep this knowledge inside and then conduct your vyavaharam like a ajnani in the world. And that's what Ramachandra did. If you understand Ramayanam properly, you will know. For Ramachandra, this war with Ravana and all other things what happened, is all did not disturb him anymore. Because this knowledge is so strong inside. Therefore, in Vyavaharam, you have to act like a ajnani. But the knowledge should keep always very strong inside. So, if it is there, you will never get angry any time, right? You may have to show anger sometimes, but whatever activities you have to do in this world, but you have to inside, like a mountain, strong inside, Meru Parvatam, right? So, Behi, the Yoga Vasishtam verse is, Behi Kritrama Sambrambham, Avarjidaha Karta Berhi, He Akarta Ahata Andanam Karta Berhi, He Loke Viraha Raghava. He says, if you have to utilize this knowledge, it is not possible. Outside in the world, you cannot utilize it, right? Because vyavaharam is avidya. This is vidya, knowledge. Yeah. But all you can do is to strengthen the vidya and do the vyavaharam vidya vidya. You have to do it. But vidya should be strong inside. And they say like this, yeah. Suppose you are applying for a position in a company or a job, there'll be, you'll put your name there. You can't put there Nija Bodha Rupam. You have to put avidya, so you have to put your avidya name, whatever it is. You see, no? If I say Nija Bodha Rupam, they won't call me for an interview. So vyavaharam is all avidya only. Fully knowing that, you have to do the vyavaharam. You have to do the vyavaharam, right? So vyavaharam, begins with avidya. The name, age, again, based on the body, date of birth, isn't it? Things like that. And male, female, all those kind of things, right? So, if you think that vyavaharam is not important, then you can write. They won't bother you, they'll leave you then. That's it, yeah? So, it is vyavaharam, the nature of vyavaharam is like that, yeah? So, that's what Krishna is saying here in this chapter, that the in vyavaharam, you cannot bring advaitam into it. This is a big mistake. Many people think like that, that in vyavaharam you can bring advaitam. You cannot. Advaitam is for realization inside. And we have to stick, like Vasishtha said to Ramachandra, you have to, like the Meru mountain, you have to be strong inside the knowledge, with the knowledge. But vyavaharam, you have to do it in a way what is possible, right? So, you cannot make jewelry with pure gold. Jewelers know that. With pure gold, you cannot make jewelry. You have to add some other metal, say copper or something like that, right? So, those who have got that prarabdham to do vyavaharam in this world endlessly, right? The only thing is that outwardly you accept that avidya, ignorance, right? Inside be situated in the platform of this realization of the knowledge, right? And that is what Ishopanishad says. If you look at the verse 11, 11th verse, what does 11th verse say? Vidyaja avidyam chayas tad vedobhyam vedobhyam saha avidya mrityam tirtva vidya vidyaya amrutam ashnute. Avidyaya mrityam tirtva vidyaya amrutam ashnute, he says. Yeah. Body has to stay in this world as long as it's there, because it's come from Prakriti. For the sake of the body, you use the avidya. For the sake of the body's existence, you use the avidya, right? And you finish your time like that, with avidya. You run down the time of the body through avidya, right? And through vidya, you be situated in the platform of the self, knowledge of the self. Right? And otherwise it is not possible to live in this world. Right? Otherwise, even if you say to the government jobs or anything, if you are applying for that, right, you say that whatever they are asked, you have to answer that, isn't it? There you have to accept the avidya. There is no other way it can be done. Sometimes they will say, or people will say, big advertisement, there is no religion, caste and everything, they will ask in the job application also. They want to know. Even though outwardly they will say, I don't believe in all these things, right? So, so this review, this nirubanam, right? one who does not have all these things, he is perfect. Who does not have all these things, based on the body, based on the mind, based on the senses, based on intelligence, so many things, it's all based on that the information is collected about us while doing the vyavahara. People look at all these things, right? So, in this chapter, he is mentioning here that this knowledge, what Krishna is going to talk about it, he said, that Acharya Swamiji's bhashyam, yat jnanam jnatva prapyaha munayaha sanyasinaha manana shilaha sarve param siddhim mokshakhyam idaha asmad deha bandhanat urdvam gadaha praptaha. What he is saying here is that if this knowledge, what Krishna is going to talk about, if it is really sunk inside a person properly, then that means he has become fully ripened with this knowledge. In a natural way, he will become a sannyasi without any changing clothes or anything, taking a name and things like that. They are all external things. Neither Acharya Swamiji nor Krishna has spoken that way. They are saying the sannyasa ashramam, sannyasa nature, is in a person, right? Inside, how a person changes, right? This wearing saffron clothes, taking a danda, shaving up, changing the name, that is not considered sannyasam from Bhagavad Gita point of view. They are all external things. If this knowledge, what Krishna is saying, if it is ripened inside, means it has gone in deeply inside, what will happen is, he is a sannyasi then, if this knowledge has gone inside. He is a sannyasi then, right? Because that is the very nature of this, means he is liberated state. Sannyasi means actually in the liberated state, yeah? So, he is already liberated, in other words. And if a person, he won't be doing any vyavaharam anymore. Vyavaharam is over for him. And for his presence is only a blessing for the rest of the world, right? Vyavaharam, if it goes away, people will think, how can you live in this world without vyavaharam? People ask this question, right? But this state, what Krishna is talking about, is a very high state. That's why jnananam, jnanam uttamam. It's a very higher state of realization, yeah? So that is what he is saying here, that they have already liberated. They don't have to take sannyasam like in the normal way. It's not necessary, right? And that is why this first verse is very important. Parambhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam yel jnatva munaya sarve param siddhimido gadaha. He said like that. Krishna said like that. Right? So, the thing is, he is saying that suppose you are inside a prison. You lived in a prison for a long time. And every morning when you get up, you see the rods in the front. Right? The of the window. Through the window you are looking, but it has got steel rods inside. You cannot jump out. They have locked you up inside. You are inside the prison. Right? And what happens is, if you lived in the prison for a long time, you get used to it, looking outside into the world through the bar, all the bars inside, right? So one day his prison sentence is over. He had long 30 years or something like that. He has stayed in that prison room for 30 years. And he could not go out. They kept him inside. And he got used to it, always looking through the bar. Outside, he got so used to it, right? So when they released him, he could not see the world properly. He finds it difficult because the bars are missing. He got so used to it. So what he did was, he took his hand and kept the fingers like this. And he started looking through the fingers in this way. So that he needs this bar in the front, otherwise he can't look. This is how we are. We are like that. That's our situation, right? Similarly, inside this body, we got inside this body, right? And because we are inside this body, we got used to it so much now, right? When we say it's about the soul, we say, without the body, I can't see the soul. I need this bar. And that bar is this mind, intelligence, senses, and all that. We got so used to it that when truth is spoken, it's not having any effect on us because of these things. This bar, they are the bars, right? So, and we are not able to accept what Krishna is saying about us, what we are, right? We find that difficult to accept that. So Dattatreya Maharshi spoke to Yadu about this, and he has become free from the prison, who? Dattatreya. So he is seeing the world differently than the way others are. So that's why when you realize these things, that our limitations, how much we are trapped in this body, and how much this mind, intelligence, senses and all are causing problem for us in various ways. Yeah, everything, as soon as you get some information, mind starts processing. Intelligence starts analyzing it. This is our existence at the moment. From this state, to move into the Antaryami's level, there is a lot of problems because of these things. Yeah. So, Arthur Osborne, he wrote talks with Maharshi, says here, that when we went to see him, he says, we never felt that he was unnatural, he said, right? We always felt that we are unnatural, he says, at that time, yeah? So, he was the most natural person, he said. So, this knowledge, what Krishna is talking about, is like lighting a lamp from another lamp. That is how the example Krishna has spoken about this, right? And so rishis, Krishna is saying that, yatva munaya sarve, all the rishis have learned this knowledge and they have given that to us, and there were many people who were happy with that, yeah? Happy with that. And there were many people who were like that, and due to that they were very, very peaceful and shanti inside. And Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is the best example for that. Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is the best example for that. That's why if you look at that verse I mentioned before, in the 19th chapter, verse 25, in the first canto, how they presented Sri Shukha Brahmarshi to this world, that Tatra Abhaval Bhagavan Vyasa Putro. When Shukha Brahmarshi arrived on the scene, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi arrived on the scene, the impression about him is, Tatra Abhaval Bhagavan Vyasaputro Yadrachaya Gam Adamano Anapeksha Alakshalingam Nijalaba Tushto Vrudascha Bhale Avadutha Veshaha. This is him. So from this verse, you can understand what Krishna is saying in this chapter. This is him, Krishna is presenting that person, like the way it's presented in the Bhagavatam. Yeah. So, there were many people like this, he's not the only person, but in Bhagavatam, Shukha Brahmarshi is presented in that way. And there are great, great personalities like that in the history, many others, right? If you look at these saints of Maharashtra, you can see all of them, yeah. Yeah, some of them, one of them was a cobbler, one of them was a merchant, grocer, one of them was a gardener, one of them was a weaver who woven clothes, and another person was a brahmana, right? One who doesn't have any parents, they were abandoned in the streets, right? And all of them were realized souls. There's a whole list of people there, the saints of Maharashtra. If you look at them, they were like that. So, that's what Krishna is saying there. Yajnatva munaya sarve param siddhim ido gadaha. So, coming from different backgrounds, they all realize the truth. They all realize the truth, right? So, Because if this knowledge has materialized, if this knowledge has realized, right, then wherever, whatever conditions they are, take for example Kabir. Kabir was born from a difficult situation. You know, he was a Brahmana boy, but brought up by Muslim parents. After realization, he continued doing what he was doing. He kept weaving the clothes, because he was a weaver. He kept weaving the clothes. He had a lot of people who were affected by Kabir. So they used to come to him and tell him, why don't you give up this weaving business? Is there any need for that anymore in your present state? There are so many people to give you the help, what you need for maintenance and everything. Kabir said no. He continued doing this weaving job till the end of his life, right? So that means that he was doing, body was doing the things, the knowledge was strong inside. Knowledge has not gone. Knowledge was working all the time. Body is doing its work. That's Prarabdham is doing its part, right? So, so the thing is that whatever situation one is in, they are perfect in that state. Whatever, so they learned how to do the Vyavaharam with the knowledge realization inside. All these saints of the Maharashtrian saints, Kabir and all of that, they have realized how to conduct the Vyavaharam with a deep realization inside. And they are the examples for this chapter. They are the examples for this chapter. So, just like knowledge, this spiritual realization, whatever situation they are in, they don't need anything else, right? Like you have deities at home, and you need to worship the deity, right? Here, this bliss that's already present inside because of this realization, right? Just like deities, if you keep at home, but if you don't worship them, you won't get any benefit from that. Deities will stay at home, but if you're not worshipping them, you won't get any benefit from that. Yeah? Similarly, this knowledge is already inside us. All of us have got it. It's nothing to come from outside, you see. This is the important thing. Knowledge is already inside. But if you don't worship that knowledge, or in other words, if you don't use it, that knowledge, understand it properly, and reflect on that, or anusandhanam as they call it, if you don't do that, you won't get any benefit from that. Just like if you have deities at home, if you don't do the worship of the deity, no benefit will come from that. Just because you just got the deities at home, nothing will happen. Unless you do the deity worship, right? Similarly, this knowledge is inside everybody. Who we are, that Antaryami, you know, because of this covering, avidya, it is not manifesting. But through anusandhanam or through vicharam, one has to, bhakti, one has to realize that till then this will happen, right? So that is what Krishna is saying there. In the, if you look at the sixth chapter, Krishna mentions that, yeah? In the sixth chapter, Bhagavad Gita, verse 26. Yato yato nischalati manas chanjalam astiram tatastado niyam meidat atmanyeva vasham nayed. Famous verse. Yeah? Yato yato nischalati manas chanjalam astiram tatastado niyam meidat Atmanyeva vasham nayet. Atmanyeva vasham nayet. Right? Yato yato nischalati manas chanjalam astiram tadas tado niyam meidat atmanyeva vasham nayet. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Under the control of the self. So, So vyavaharam, while doing vyavaharam, they say, with one hand you should hold on to Krishna's feet, lotus feet, and with the other hand you should do the vyavaharam. That's the way it should be done, right? And when the vyavaharam is finished, with both the hands you should hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. While doing vyavaharam, what this is in the bhakti language, when you say, that's how you say that. With one hand you hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, and with the other hand you do the vyavaharam. When the vyavaharam is finished, you pull the hand back, and with both the hands you hold on to Krishna's lotus feet. This is what is Krishna saying there. Now in Jnani's language, Alpanyeva Vasham Nayet means realize who you are and stay in the platform of the self with Antaryami. In the Jnani's language. In devotee's language, you say like this. That's all. Vastu is the same thing. Krishna is Antaryami. So devotee takes the Antaryami is Krishna and taking Krishna shelter and does the vyavaharam. Jnani, on the other hand, he realizes Antaryami is his identity, spiritual identity. Therefore, hold on to Antaryami realization and does his vyavaharam. So that's the way it is done, right? So, once the vyavaharam is finished, then immediately we are back into our spiritual state, Antaryami state, right? So, the easiest method, it is for this purpose only that they say you should chant the holy name all the time. This 16 rounds and all is just a minimum requirement. But complete continuously chanting is to keep that link, holding Krishna with one hand, that is their chanting the holy name, always holding on to Krishna, right? So Namasmarana or chanting the holy name is for this purpose, right? And so other things like Anushtanam, deity worship and all that, you can't do it 24 hours. But chanting the holy name, one can do it all the time. In order to remind us that connection with Krishna, right? What is the nature of the holy name? Nature of the holy name is that our Swarupam itself, right? And every time when you recite the holy name, you realize this, that Harinama Kirtanam, or when so many verses in Harinama Kirtanam talks about this, that how chanting the holy name is actually connecting with the Antaryami all the time. So if you have that, whatever you see in this world, people whom you are dealing with, also Krishna's manifestation, and whatever karmam you are performing here in this world, also Antaryami is doing through this body, and everything that is done in this world is for the pleasure of Krishna. In this way, continuously connecting with Krishna, everything as Antaryami. If it is done like that, you will realize finally that Krishna is the Antaryami. Krishna is the Antaryami. So our Antaryami is Krishna, whichever way you want to call it, right? And you don't exist separately from Him. That is the actual identity. You don't exist separately from Him. So in this way, if that smarana, remembrance, continues like this forever, and so if you can continue like that and ignore the mind, the covering due to the mind, because mind comes and puts a spanner every time, isn't it? Even when you do any spiritual activity, if you observe yourself, you will see the mind is the one that is poking all the time. Comes in and starts saying, oh, I should do this, I should do that. Let's stop chanting for a while. Let me get that done. Let me get this done. In this way, right? So, in order that, you have to get through that stage of the interference of the mind. Mind means chittavritti. Mind means chittavritti. Without our knowledge, thoughts are coming inside. All types of thoughts. And then suddenly you realize while chanting that you've been, you've gone somewhere else for a long time. Right? So, so that vidya is what is spoken here. What Krishna is going to talk about. right? In other words, helping us to realize that presence of Antaryami inside. Yeah? And that's what he's saying. So, so that's what he's saying. Yel jnatva munayam sarve. Yel jnatva munaya sarve. Param siddhimito gadaha. Param siddhimito gadaha. Look at the next verse, what Krishna says. Idam jnanamupa ashritya mama sadharmya magadaha sarge vinoba jayande pralaye navedanti cha. Pralaye na vedanti cha. Idam jnanamupa ashritya mama sadharmya magadaha sarge vinoba jayande pralaye navedanti cha. Amazing statements, what Krishna is saying there. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. You see, understand that words? Krishna is saying that this world, we think there is a beginning, isn't it? Creation. And we also think one day it's going to end, the doomsday, when it's going to, everything going to be destroyed. We think like that, yeah? But that is for keeping our mind satisfied, that answer. From Upanishad's point of view, creation has not happened even. It may look very strange when somebody says like that, creation has not happened. Then what are we busy with? 24 hours, we are busy with the creation. Now, to come to that state of realization, Krishna is saying here that by realizing this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in this chapter, idam jnanam upashritya, taking shelter of this knowledge, mama sadharmya magataha, you will come like me, you will become. My own sodharmam, sadharmya magataha, your dharmam, you will become like me, in other words. In other words, what he is saying is that, sargevi novachayande pralayena vyathanticha. That with this knowledge, there will be no more birth for you, and there will be no more death either. What does that mean? It means birth and death is like creation and destruction. You feel you are born, and you feel you are dead. It's only an impression inside. It's nothing more than that. Yeah? Idam jnanam yathoktam upashritya jnana sadhanam anushtayam iti etat mama parameshwarasya sadharmyam mal surubadam agadaha prapta ityartho nadu samana dharmadam sadharmyam kshetra kshetrajnya shirayo veda and upagamad gita shastre bhalavadacha ayam stutyartham uchyate sarge abhi srishtikale abhi na ubajayane na utpadyande pralaye brahmanaha abhivinashakale na vedhanti cha vyadham na abadyande na chyavandi ityartaha. In other words, a realized person who with this knowledge, right, he does not take a birth again, and at the same time, even Lord Brahma, when he die, means a very long period of time, isn't it? 4 trillion years or something he has got. And when he gets destroyed and devastation happens to this creation, he doesn't get disturbed about that, because this is to explain to us by this knowledge in this chapter where it leads to. In other words, where it leads to. Yeah, he's saying here, for example, this knowledge everybody has inside. Everybody got it, right? Krishna has said that before. Ajnani enavardam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. In the fifth chapter, he mentions that. Nadatte kasyachit papam na chaiva suhrutam vibhu. Ajnani enavardam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. This is spoken in a very higher level. This jnanam, knowledge of the self, what it does is that illusion has gone. Tena mukhyanti jantava. Otherwise we are jandus. thinking I am this body when you are living like that. But once that illusion has gone, I am not this body, has gone away from him, identification, right? So, jnanam is the surupam of the antaryami, atma surupam, right? It is not the knowledge that comes from the world outside. And it is the nature of a person. Is it surupam? It is. Its own identity is that, right? Therefore, jnanam is there, but problem is that we are not taking shelter of that knowledge, what is inside us. We are not taking shelter of that, right? And thing is that the principle is nitya vastu is that jnanam, antaryami. One should take its shelter, right? Anitya vastu, that is this world, this body, friends, society, they are for vyavaharam, right? Nitya vastu for shelter, ashrayam. Anitya vastu for vyavaharam. What did we all do? We take shelter of anitya vastu, we do vyavaharam with nitya vastu. That's what everybody does in this world. All people. The shelter we all feel in the world, in the bank balance, in the body, in the family, in the house, in the society and everything. That is what is called taking shelter means. Taking shelter means they are all keeping me going in this world. In other words, our complete shelter is there in all these things. Home, family, money, body, society, friends, things like that. That is anitya vastu. Anitya vastu taking shelter, and nitya vastu, Krishna inside, we do vyavaharam with him. We do vyavaharam with him. That means if he gives us what we want, then we will worship him. If not, you can see that in life, in material life, when you are suffering a lot, you take shelter. But when the suffering goes away, and financially or materially situation improves, the shelter also goes away. You become very relaxed in spiritual life. It happens all the time. It's our nature is like that. Because throughout life we have done this, taking shelter of the anitya vastu and doing vyavaharam with the nitya vastu. That's what is called vyavaharam with nitya vastu means. You take shelter of the nitya vastu only when you are in trouble. When the trouble is over, you just say, oh, I'm not feeling very well, I cannot chant my rounds, I can't do anything. Feeling more pulled into the other side. So this nitya vastu, anitya vastu. Krishna is nitya vastu. Nitya vastu one should take shelter. Rest everything else is anitya vastu. Anitya vastu is for vyavaharam. Instead what the world does is, they take shelter of all the anitya vastu and do vyavaharam with nitya vastu. This is the main thing is going to say here now. Idam jnanam upashritya mama sadharma magataha. Right. If you have money, use it. Right. And if you have rice at home, have a meal. That's all. Yeah. Or if you have a lot extra, hand it over to somebody else who can use it. Right. Similarly, clothes, everything, all other material facilities like that. And Krishna alone, that has to go deep inside. Krishna alone is the shelter. Right. And Krishna is Jnanasvarup. Krishna means Antaryami inside, who is pure consciousness, knowledge. Right. So instead of taking shelter of dravyam, wealth, they have to take shelter Krishna, right? And not to do vyavaharam with Krishna. Not to do vyavaharam with Krishna, right? So, and where you will see sometimes people saying, oh, Krishna is so merciful, he did all this for me, he got me a good job, he got me a good wife, he got me some good children, and they are all getting settled by Krishna's mercy, they will say, after that. They will say all the happiness of their material life, and then they will say, by Krishna's mercy all this has happened, to show to us that they are also devotees. But actually they are businessmen. They are not devotees. Who says like that, right? What they are saying is that, I have used Krishna and he has supported me all my plans, what I had in my life. That's not spiritual life. That's vyavaharam. And that's what he is saying here. That vyavaharam, if you do with Krishna like this, it will end up in disaster. It may, sometimes temporarily you may think everything is working in life, But at the end, it will be a disaster. That should never happen. No vyavaharam with Krishna. Krishna, shelter. Vyavaharam with the world, outside, with the body, everything, right? So in bhakti language, we talk like that. It is the devotees who talk like that. Jnanis don't speak like this. But devotees will make sure that in everything they will bring Krishna inside and say that Krishna has done this for me, Krishna has done that for me. So in Jnani's case, it is different. It's a different bhavam altogether, right? So this problem is everywhere, right? If you, these desires are there in everyone's heart, we have come with the desires, right? With the vasanas inside. And that desires will start working. And when they start working, you can see even when you run a small temple, right? There will be a committee to manage the temple. And in every temple, you look every center, and wherever it is, in this country or that country, any country you look, it's the same thing, right? And in the committee, there will be a few people who have nothing else to do. They want to tell the world that they are a member of the committee of the temple management committee, right? And if he get caught in that committee, then his spiritual life is over. Because then he starts thinking, right, that, oh, I have to run this temple. And he takes the whole thing on his head then. This is all coming from the institution. The institutional problem it is. It's nothing you can do. Institution happens in a small scale or in a big scale. Wherever there is institutional spiritualism, you'll find all these problems. Committee will be there, committee members, they'll have different opinions. They will argue each other. They'll fight each other. And they'll make a meal of everything this way. So this is the situation. In the same way, rich people and the swamis, sannyasis, their connection also in the similar way. Sannyasi, these rich people, they don't have peace of mind. They are very disturbed inside because of all the vyavaharam is so big in their life. So much money is being handled every day. So they lose the peace of mind. When they see the swamis, they think, oh, these people are very peaceful. Swamis has got their customer then. Swamis know that very well. So what they do is, they will go and they will come to the swamis to have some peace of mind. Swamis will ask for money. Swamis know money will come very freely from them because they are in a weak spot and they're in the right time to exploit them. So swamis will ask for demand for the money, and between swamis and these business people, it becomes a total vyavaharam. There is no spiritual life anymore. It changes completely. This is the modern spiritual world. If you observe carefully, you can see this is happening everywhere. Everywhere. Between the swamis. Out of these two, if you ask me who is better, the businessman is better than the swami. Swami is a nonsense because he has polluted spiritual life to such an extent. Whereas the other person needs some shanti inside. That's why he is coming. And you have abused him and you know that weakness, weak spot is this money. He is willing to give any money to get some shandi. That's how he is coming. He is willing to spend anything. And our swamis also knows this very well. They will put the net around them and they will be there for all their marriages and all their ceremonies at home, birthday party and everything. Our swamis will be there for this. This is spiritual life today. A combined operation together. Win-win situation, both. They get the shandi, swamis get the money. Both are happy. So, this is what it is. We'll discuss it after the break. Cheto darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam Shreyakaito chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam Sarvatna Subhanambaram Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Nana Magari Bahudani Jasarva Shakti Tatrapidani Vidas Varadena Kala Yeda Dushi Tavagrava Bhagavan Mamavi Udayva Meda Shamihajani Nanuragaha Tranara Vishuni Jaina Tarora Visa Hishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtani Yasadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim kavidam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadal bhakti rahai dogitvai ai nandatanu jakingaram padidamam shame bhavam bodau krupaya tava pada pankajastita duli sadrisham vichindaya nayanam galada shodharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira polagernichitam gadavavu tava namangrahane bhavishyati yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahename ashlishyava padaradam vinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva yatha tathava vidatha dulambado malpranadha sunayeva napara sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda. Idam jnanamupashritya mama sadharmyam agataha sargevi nopajayande pralayana vyathanti cha. So Krishna saying that the vivaharam and adhyatmam, there are two sides. Adhyatmam is important, vivaharam has to be done because of the body. So this problem is there always, and in the temples, institutions, everywhere this problem exists, what I was saying. You can say what to talk about this world, even in Vaikuntham this problem is there. Jay and Vijaya, they got problem there, because they got, once you get a position, then this problem comes. You feel you are very important because you got a position in the committee or management or something like that, isn't it? Then you can see the way they feel, that identification so strongly with the position, right? So it is not their fault, it is due to this problem of the position it creates. Position creates all these problems, right? Jay and Vijaya, they had to come back because of that, because they got position there. Gatekeepers, but still, it got into their head and they felt offended the Kumaras there, right? So, at that time, Krishna told them that this has happened because I've decided that this should happen to them, right? So, therefore, people who are very close to the deities and who are very close to the management, they have big problems, right? Why? Because this ashrayam won't come in them. Because it is a close association with the management and due to the deities and all, the ashrayam won't be there. And so sometimes these people who are very close to the deity, in the deity worship, who are very close to the deities, the deity get frightened seeing the person coming to serve him. There's so many things written about that. Pujari sometimes seeing their attitude, the arrogance and their ego, that the deity gets frightened. There's a lot of written things written about all these things, historically written by great personalities, right? So that is the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind, right? So, don't know why when you get so closer, you become like that. Yeah, it's the nature of the mind. That's what Krishna is saying here. Idam jnana upashritya. This knowledge is important, right? Upashritya means that Upanishad is for Upashritya. Upashritya, it is suitable for that, to take shelter. Right? Jnanam upashritya. Jnanam, knowledge, you should take shelter. Right? Jnanam, you should take shelter. That is the what is expected from jnanam. Jnanam is for shelter. Even body is concerned, even the health, you can't take shelter. You can't take shelter of this body because any moment this can fail, body can fail. Right? So, if you have good health, fine, use it. But If the health is there, do what you can. But if it's not there, what do? You can't take shelter of the body, thinking that body will perform and try to fix it as much as possible and then eventually fails, right? So basically, the principle is this, that body, health, all these things, you can't take shelter of that because it's all unknown entities. It's driven by prarabdham, decided by the antaryami, how it will be, it will happen, right? So, so one Mahatma said, you have to look at how Mahatmas dealt with this situation. You can't look at the ordinary world and see what they have done and follow them, that you won't get anywhere in spiritual life. Yeah. So Mahatma got sick, he says. he said, when the disease came to him, he said, this has come now, this disease has come. Like you have come, he said to the one of the persons, like you have come to see me, he has also come to see me, the disease, right? And I didn't tell you not to come. Similarly, I cannot tell the disease also not to come. He comes. What can I do, right? Nothing can be done. That's prarabdham, right? So, knowing very well that this is the reality, you can't take shelter of this body. You can't take shelter of this body. You can't take shelter of its health either. None of them, right? So, so when you realize all these things, that is when you really start taking Krishna shelter, right? And that is why Srinarada Maharshi mentioned this in the Bhakti Sutram, Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. That's his definition. Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Ananyaha. Right? So, when does Krishna shelter taking means, it's not that just I chant the holy name, I have taken shelter. Shelter is inside. Inside you have to have that bhavam all the time, that feeling. Right? So, when you realize that you have no other shelter, the life is completely messed up, and you're finding no way out from that, at that time the ashrayatvam comes. That's when ashrayam, proper ashrayam will come. Otherwise ashrayam won't come. As long as there is some health, there is some wealth, there is society, there is money, things like that, family, society, ashrayatvam won't happen. Proper ashrayatvam won't happen. Look at Bhagavatam talks about that. Even when Draupadi, and when she was disrobed, both, she looked at Dhritarashtra and she looked at Bhishma and she looked at her five husbands who were there. And when she looked at all of them, nobody did anything about it. And only when she realized that there is no help from any source, and when he realized that, at that time, Krishna Krishna Mahayogin, the famous words about us taking Krishna shelter. So this is the nature of the jiva. Jiva is always like that. Yeah. So, Uttara Devi, on the other hand, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpade Nanyanto Dabayam Pashyal Yatra Murtyu Parasparam. Right? And Srimad Bhagavatam, that verse of Uttara Devi, it is the perfect Sharanagadi verse. Sharanagadi, right? Gajendra also is a Sharanagadi he did. But Gajendra tried very hard first, with his, all his strength, to pull out from the feet, from the crocodile, right? When finally it did not work, then he, Narayana, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste, that stage came, right? Draupadi also initially looked for help from first other people, and then she surrendered. So, so that is a natural way people are. Naturally people are like that, that they will look for options in this world, some shelter, if they can find. And if they can't find any other shelter, only then they will turn to Krishna shelter. Otherwise it won't happen. Yeah. So, whereas Uttara Devi's case was different, right? Uttara Devi says that there is no point in going to anybody. That is her explanation to that. There are so many Sharanagadis in the Bhagavatam. We have Sharanagadi of what we have seen here, Draupadi Sharanagadi, Gajendra Sharanagadi, Mahabali Sharanagati and Ambari Sharanagati. So many Sharanagatis are spoken. How different great personalities performed Sharanagati. Out of all the Sharanagatis, Uttaradevi is the perfect one. Perfect Sharanagati is Uttaradevi. All others, you can see, they were all came to Krishna's shelter only after trying their best. They want to do it on their own, and that didn't work out. And when they failed, then they took Krishna's shelter at the end. Yeah. So that's the important thing. When Krishna says, idam janma jnanam upashritya, so taking shelter is important. Now Krishna is giving the knowledge, but we have to take shelter of that knowledge. Not keep it in the mind and understood everything and leave it like that. That's not taking shelter. Taking shelter means that knowledge what Krishna has spoken, that should be in our life, in reality, right? So, the reason Uttaradevi said, Nanyatvad abhayam pashyel yatra murtyu parasparam. She is saying there that, looking at them, she says, they are all going to die. One cannot save another one from the death. They are all going to die. So what can they give me shelter? What shelter can they give it to me? He said. And one person, and can become cause of death for somebody else, but when it is like that, etra murtyu parasparam, one can become a cause of death for another person. When it is like that, what is the point in taking shelter of any one of them? Uttaradevi came to that conclusion from the very beginning, and therefore she ran to Krishna's shelter, for Krishna's shelter, right? So, that is, and Krishna, he says to Krishna that you alone are the shelter. Pahivahi mahayogin devadeva jagatpade na anyatvad abhayam. There is nobody else for my shelter. So to come to that conclusion, it takes, ordinary jivas won't be able to make that. Ordinary tendency is to look for some other shelter. And that is what Krishna is saying. Don't do vyavaharam with Krishna. Don't do vyavaharam with Krishna. Vyavaharam is for the world outside. Krishna is for shelter. When we say Krishna is for shelter means this knowledge is for shelter. Krishna is knowledge actually, is it not? Krishna is knowledge. Idam jnanam upashritya. Krishna is for shelter. Take Krishna's shelter. That's what he is saying here. So, and so that shelter what Uttaradevi has taken, that shelter has come from knowledge. Idam jnanam upashritya. That is, that word line, first line, is actually referring to Uttaradevi's surrender, Sharanagati. All other Sharanagati is not real Sharanagati. That has happened due to circumstances. Uttaradevi had the intelligence to surrender to Krishna based on knowledge. Idam jnanam upashritya. Yeah? So to know that there is no other shelter, to come to that, that is the first step. That's the first step. When you know that there is no other shelter, then taking shelter of Krishna naturally go towards Antaryami inside. He is present inside as Antaryami. That Amrutatvam, immortality, Antaryami, he is inside everyone, right? And deathlessness. Antaryami means deathlessness. There is no death for the Antaryami. Mrityu, birth, death, old age, disease, everything is for the body. Everything is in the prakriti. Everything is in the svabhavam. In our real self, there is no death. There is no old age. There is no disease. None of them. Right? So, when we come to realize that, Antaryami's proper understanding comes to us. It comes into our bodham. At that stage, we realize that he is our shelter. Antaryami is the shelter. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that, is he not? Gadi, Bartha, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Suhrat, Prabhava, Pralayasthanam, Nidhanam, Bijam, Avyayam. Remember? In the 10th chapter. Yeah. So, Ashrayam. Yeah. Ashrayam is that. always feeling protected, completely secure from Krishna's protection, right? And that is what is called ashrayam. And the surubam of Brahmam is anubhavam, experience level, right? So, mukti, when we say, there is two things, surubalakshanam, tadasalakshanam. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it is discussed, right? Mukti is Brahmam's surubalakshanam. That means, if you realize Brahmam, then what that means is, your surubam has become Brahmam. You are Brahmam then. Actually, we are still Brahmam. Even now, we are Brahmam. But when you realize it, that is our surubalakshanam. Surubalakshanam means that's what we are, right? So, mukti means is, has to be experienced properly inside. If that has to happen, if mukti has to be experienced, it is an anubhavam, isn't it? It's an experience. If it has to happen, this ashrayam has to come in the vyavaharam. Ashrayam has to come in the vyavaharam. Initially, you do vyavaharam in the beginning. Only you can do vyavaharam with one hand and hold on the hand to Krishna's lotus feet with the other hand. That's the beginning. But when does that become samadhi? Vyavaharam becomes samadhi at some stage. What he is saying here is that the nirvikalpa samadhi, which is called mukti, nirvikalpa, without any vikalpam inside. Vikalpa means thought waves. Completely mind is gone and you are established in the samadhi state, right? In order that to happen, the vyavaharam stage has to become sahaja nirvikalpa samadhi. In other words, that even while vyavaharam is done, even then the mukti does not leave him. He is able to remain in the liberated state, able to conduct vyavaharam like that, right? Now, otherwise, only in the samadhi, when you are in the samadhi state, you experience that mukti. That is nirvikalpa samadhi. But if that samadhi state comes into vyavaharam also, even in vyavaharam you feel that samadhi state, right? Then at that moment, whatever the mind does or senses, they do their business in this world, right? And even when all those things are happening, right, mind and senses will go into the world and doing different things, vyavaharam it has to do, right? But even then, inside him, he is fully conscious who he is. That Andaryami. What else? That he doesn't have birth or death, and that he is Purna Vastu inside. And if he has come to that stage, that's what Krishna is calling here as Jnana Upashrutya. Idam Jnana Upashrutya means that stage. Through realization, you are doing vyavaharam, mind and senses are all doing that, but inside it is rock solid realization who we are. Not affected by anything what's happening in the vyavaharam. If you have come to that state is called samadhi, and that means you have taken shelter of that knowledge completely, and Krishna is saying, Idam Jnana Upashrutya. After that, mama sadharma magada. So, these words are very powerful words. You got to understand what is behind these words, right? Idam jnana upashrutya. If you have taken shelter of that knowledge to that extent, that you can even conduct vyavaharam and not affected by that. You have to come to reach that stage before you can talk about this. Idam jnana upashrutya, right? So, Krishna is saying here that, what does that mean? I am perfect. Andaryami is not affected by any of this vyavaharam. Andaryami is not affected by the body, mind, senses or anything. I am that Andaryami, that realization inside, right? So, and birth, death, old age and disease does not affect me because that's not my identity. To such an extent, you have come to the realize the Antaryami, right? So if you take like that, Krishna is saying that what will happen? Mama sadharma magadaha. Next line. Mama sadharma. Krishna is saying here, he has the same dharma as me. In other words, all his nature will be like me. Krishna's dharmam you have seen in battlefield, have you not? When he fought the war, Mahabharata war, not affected by anything. Not affected by anything. When he killed Kamsa, not affected by anything. Dancing with the gopis, not affected by anything. In all the state, Rajasuyam, what happened? Not affected by anything. So that is what Bhishma mentioned in the Bhishma Stuti about Krishna. Is he not? That look at all these places. I have understood, Bhishma says, who he is, he said, about Krishna. Is he not? He said, I understood who he is at that time. What I saw him in Rajasuyam, what I saw in Vrindavanam when he danced with the gopis, what happened? What he did in Mahabharata war. From that I have understood who he is, he said. So that is that Mama Sadharma Magada. That Krishna's state is different. It's not like our state. We get disturbed over every little thing. Krishna doesn't get disturbed over everything. Why is that? Because idam jnanam upashritya. He has taken shelter of this knowledge. Means, Krishna is that knowledge. In other words, he is the embodiment of that knowledge. The self-realization, in other words. Yeah. So that's what he is referring to. And many places, this sadharmyam, Krishna has spoken, that you cannot create another person like him. Like the way he is, right? And that's what Krishna says, there's no one else equal to me. It's only me, that's like that. So, sadharma magadaha means that this dharmatvam, the way Krishna conducts, that dharmatvam, the way he conducts things, right? These things, in our case, realize you, it will come and it will go. It won't stay permanently like that, right? They give the example like this, from a very peaceful ocean from the sea, suddenly a wave comes from that and a lot of bubbles comes from that. Yeah. And then suddenly the waves goes back and everything becomes very flat. The ocean, water in the ocean, right? So so when the waves goes back in the ocean inside, right, that is when it said that the sadharmyam has come. Of the wave has become one with the ocean. When waves is also water only, but it came from the ocean and played some time and then it went back and it has become one with the ocean. And that's what sadharma magada means, right? So when it came out of the ocean and it lost that sadharmyam of the ocean, when it goes back, it has got its sadharmyam back. One with the ocean, right? Similarly, those who have taken the shelter of this knowledge, Krishna is saying, those who have ashrayam has taken this knowledge properly, shelter, mama sadharma magada. He's saying that. So, so that's what he's saying here. Sargebi nopachayande, the next two lines. Sargebi nopachayande pralaye navyathanti cha. Right? It is a interesting thing, those two lines. Why? I'll tell you why. Sargebi nopachayande pralaye navyathanti cha. Yeah? Normally, this devastation, creation, devastation and all that has no connection with self-realization, normally. But we won't understand that. Then you will ask the question, what about Lord Brahma then? He did the creation, and in the Bhagavatam one whole canto is talking about creation. Is it not? Whole canto is talking about creation. And because it's not understood properly, people take that very seriously, Brahma created. Everybody wants to know who created this world. In every other religion also you will say, he's the creator, you will say. They keep on shouting this creator business so much. Vedantam says creation has not even happened. That's the Veda, that you understand Vedanta, but you can't tell them this Vedanta, it won't get into their head. Yeah, they can only understand this, but they are looking through the eyes, they see this world, and they want to see who created this world. That means they are in such a lower state of spiritual life, in Adhyatmam, therefore they need an answer. At that stage, no point in telling Vedantam to them. It won't get in. They won't understand it. They just don't have, buddhi is not in that level. So stulam, very stula buddhi. Right? So when the buddhi is so stulam, the best thing to do is to give an answer to them. Somebody has created this world, and this is how creation happened. In some philosophy, it is 7 days it took to creation. And some other says, very particular about this creator. And keep on shouting at that, on this creation business. It is such a joke, the whole thing. Anyway, the point is this, that therefore this problem everywhere it is there. In Vedic tradition also this problem is there. So therefore Puranams have all given a process of creation, for this reason only. Creation is discussed in the Bhagavatam, and creation is discussed in other Puranams also. And the way that is spoken in other Puranam is different than what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. So normally what happens is people who study Puranams, after some time they'll start thinking, is this all true? They'll keep asking that questions, isn't it? So, so best thing is Krishna is saying that, then they also want to know about heaven and hell. This is another important thing. This heaven and hell is discussed so much in the depth in the YouTube, is not. Our other friends, yeah, they are saying that our heaven is like this, and then they want to know more about that. Hey, this is such a entertainment, this watching that, this heaven hell discussion, right? So they are saying there that the heaven and hell, they want to know precisely what's happening there, what facilities we have got in the heaven, and what's going to happen in the hell, right? You saw what Parikshit did about that at the end of the fifth canto, when he heard all this description about the creation. He says to Shiva Brahmarshi, is there a thing called hell? And what happens there, Vaichitra? Shiva Brahmarshi said, there is a hell, and in one chapter he said everything what he has to say, 28 different types of hells and all that, and he said that that's also Krishna's another manifestation, and he finished it like that. If you look into fifth canto, you will see that. Yeah. So the thing is that Krishna's point is also, don't deny anything. If people are in that level, give them that, what they want, because that's all they can accept at that stage, in their state of mind. So, so Krishna is saying that if you say that there is a thing called a creation and there is a thing called a devastation, right? Even in that state, during the creation process or during the dissolution process, devastation time, also, this person who we are talking about, who has this knowledge, his realization will continue to remain as it is. He won't be affected by that, by the creation or the devastation. I know this is a difficult thing to explain more, because these are all... In other words, there won't be any vichiti. Vichiti means there will be no interruption. He won't be affected by the so-called creation or destruction, right? So, in other words, during creation, he won't be taking birth. Or during devastation, he won't be killed either, destroyed either, right? Why? He's saying here, sargevi nova jayante. You see the word he has used? In order to say that, he has used those two lines. Sargevi nova jayante pralayana vyathanti cha. Sargam pralayam have no effect on him. Have no effect on him. So, in other words, birth and death is not an experience for him anymore. And similarly, vyavaharam, sukham, dukham, all these things are not affecting him. So, then Krishna says to Arjuna, therefore, take shelter of this knowledge and live in this world and realize the self, right? So, you're hearing this from Bhagavad Gita, then you're doing mananam on that, and that is the dhyanam, meditation, right? And in alone, one has to, as I was saying many times in the Bhagavad Gita, you are studying Bhagavad Gita. See, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam and all, you have to know how to study it also. What level, what you should take it from there. You also have to look into your own lifespan. You don't have a life all the time discussing and deciding about from, you know, the basic things. You got to leave certain things at a certain time in life. That part is over. Our time is limited. And with this limited time, what you can do, that's what you have to think about at the old age. You don't have a lot of time to keep on reading beginning to end of all the shastram and coming to conclusions from that. Yeah. So, that is, Krishna is saying that this knowledge is important, and taking shelter of the knowledge and living the rest of the life in that way is more important. It's more important, right? So, so able to know that this Antaryami inside is my destination. That's me. All other things, body, mind, senses, intelligence, all other things have nothing to do with me. That is Prakriti. So, this is the knowledge that has to go inside us from Bhagavad Gita. This knowledge. That's how Krishna has spoken in that way, right? And able to separate that, and when you get that knowledge strengthened inside, then what will happen is just like this. When you switch off a fan will rotate for some time. Prabhupada has given that example, right? Similarly, this chittavritti that is coming in our mind, and when they stop completely, then we will experience our existence inside as Antaryami. It will come at that stage, right? Bodham. And once that is woken up, that awareness inside of Antaryami's presence, then that is what Krishna is saying here. That it will come to that stage. And Kshetra Kshetrajna Samyogam Idrisho Bhutakaranam Iti Aha. That is how the living entity becomes free from that. So, a self-realized person, he will guide another one, a disciple, with his mercy, he will be able to show that road inwards, the journey inwards towards the Antaryami very clearly, right? And he will be able to give that experience of what he has experienced in his samadhi state to the disciple, right? And then the disciple wakes up. Yeah. So when he woke up, the disciple guru asked the disciple, "What did you see?" He's saying that what I saw there was, there is no thing called body, there is no thing called mind, intelligence or senses, any of them, not even ego. So you become free from all that when you really experience him, Antaryami inside. What is present there is Shanti, Bodham, and that existence, feeling of existence, I exist, right? So then from that, one fall down into the platform of the mind. When you come to the platform of the mind, once you come to the platform of the mind, everything changes, right? This will happen in the beginning all the time. Initially, we have to tell ourselves. Now, we are not going to succeed in all these things so easily. It is a lifelong commitment to start. But once you know the time is limited, then we should take that more seriously, that the understanding that I am not this body. Body is not mine. And body is not for my enjoyment. Or body is not in my control in any way. This awareness, we have to build it up inside. And that's very important. That's all we can do in this present. These are meant for those who are very serious about spiritual life from the very beginning, and who have not got caught up in this world with karma and other things, right? It's only for them they can do that. Very few souls will have that opportunity. Majority of the people, we have been affected by the you see, society, family, education, our own prarabdham, all together have trapped us in this body. And you are trying to break away from that. And that's a very tough job, very difficult job. But those who are very fortunate, they will get through this. What Krishna is saying is that, even if you don't succeed in this life, keep trying with that. Because if at the old age, if you have strengthened that, your desire for that, but you have to accept it first. What Krishna is saying is the right thing. And you accept that, and if you cultivate this understanding inside strongly, not with the mind, but a genuine desire inside to realize the truth, Antaryami may sometimes will help at the end, seeing your seriousness about it. That seriousness is more important. That's what Krishna is going to say now. Right? So, the lakshyam vidayam asad vilakshanam. The goal, the lakshyam, is not empty, right? Because lakshyam is purnam, complete perfection, antaryami, right? And that is already available to us. As antaryami present inside, we are already in that state, but we are not conscious of that because we have completely disconnected from there, right? So when we realize that, I am not this body, I am not this mind, I'm not this buddhi, I'm not this ahangaram. That astitvam alone, we realize it. That is what he's mentioning here. And you will see this in the Viveka Chudamani, it's spoken much precisely about that to understand. Yeah. Verse here. Kimapi satata bhodam. What happens at that stage? Yeah. Kimapi satata bhodam, keval ananda rupam, nirvamam adivelam, nitya muktam niriham, niravadi gaganambham, nishkalam nurvikalpam, kriti kalayadi vidvan, brahma purnau samadhau. There is a many verses of a person who is in the realized state. That this is one of that. Kimapi satata bhodam, keval ananda rupam, nirvamam adivelam, nitya muktam niriham, Niravadi Gaganabham, Nishkalam Nurvikalpam, Kridikalayadi Vidvan, Brahma Purnau Samadhau. The wise man realizes in his heart, through Samadhi, the infinite Brahmam, which is something of the nature of eternal knowledge, absolute bliss, which has no exemplar, which transcends all limitations, ever free, without activity, and limitlessless, likes the sky, invisible and absolute, he said. So, after that, what happens is that, even in Vyavaharam, even while doing Vyavaharam, that he is not thinking anymore like us. He is not in the bodily concept of life anymore. And the person whom you are doing Vyavaharam with, he is seeing him, that's me, in another form. In other words, he has started seeing Krishna's manifestation in him, right? And not he thinks of himself as this person belonging to this place, as a son of some particular parents, or belonging to particular community. That's not the way how he conducts Vyavaharam. His Vyavaharam will be, nature of Vyavaharam changes, right? There, when he does Vyavaharam, what does he is conscious of? He is conscious of that in Sushupti, what was experiencing in him, what experience he had, right? And he is always conscious that in Sushupti how he was, it is that state what he does to Vyavaharam. In other words, he knows very well in Sushupti what was his identity in Sushupti, in deep sleep, right? What happens? Body goes away, is it not? Bodily identification goes away. Personality is not there. Vyaktitvam, personality is not there, right? So, but you feel perfect in that sushupti. Perfect in that sushupti. And that awareness is in him. Because he has studied all the... Again, jagat sapnam sushupti. Why do we... This is one who is following that process. Remember in the Naminavayogi Samvadam, they talked about that. It is one of the process of self-realization. Studying jagat sapnam sushupti. Three states, yeah? So one who has done all that work, it is for him able to do these things. In our present state now, that's all out of question now. It's all over. Now our time is limited, and then we also, our prarabdham is so heavy that to come to spiritual path at a later date in life and all is too much to do, expect all these things to happen. So, what Bhagavad Gita is saying here is that that perfection inside, that I am Brahman, aham Brahmasmi, right? Atma bhavida bodham asmi, soham asmi, that bodham has to be in our meditations, in dhyanam, and that is what it means that when Krishna says jnanam upashritya, taking shelter of jnanam means that. Do you understand? That taking shelter of jnanam means in your dhyanam, in your meditations, in your thoughts all the time, what Krishna has spoken, that I am that Antaryami inside. I am not affected by the body. Body is not mine. I am not the body. Body is not mine. Body is not for my happiness. It has come from Prakriti. Prakriti will take it back. This bodham all the time inside. That's what he is saying. Idam jnana upashritya means that. Always being conscious of this. That I am not this body. Body is not mine. If you have taken this as a meditation, that means lot of Bhagavad Gita has gone inside then. But if these thoughts are not coming, you are not thinking about all these things, then all these memorizing verses and studying commentaries and all are useless. He's saying here, jnanam upashritya. You have to take shelter of that jnanam. Taking shelter means this realization, you have to cultivate it inside, constantly within ourselves. I am not this body. Body is not mine. And in order to get this realization, you study Bhagavad Gita as much as possible. Because Krishna is talking about Sthita Prajnatvam. Is it not? He is talking about Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. It's all for this purpose only. To get our attention strong on this knowledge. To get this knowledge in somehow or the other. Because talking about it won't help. It will come like this and go. But it has to sink in. And for that purpose, you have to study Bhagavad Gita as much as possible. But more than that is vicharam. Thinking about Bhagavad Gita is for vicharam. Bhagavad Gita, you see, is the cream of the Vedic knowledge. All the Upanishad's knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is meant for mananam, contemplation. Continuously thinking about it. Thinking means that within yourself, you have to constantly break away from the avidya, what we have cultivated, developed here. So, and then what will happen is that that realization will come. I mean, in some people you can see that. In our cases, we don't have that to show anything to anybody. But if you have seen people who have that, you will notice it. You will notice it in them. You can see how they make decisions and how they conduct their life in this world. How they conduct in this world. They will walk away from all, everything at a particular time in life. That is how you notice there that strength inside. Because this realization is idam jnanam upashritya. The knowledge has worked for them. For average people in this world, they can only try. But, success is... because the prarabdham is there. And also that conviction has not come, not taken shelter enough of the knowledge. People are studying Bhagavad Gita simply for... and they get misguided also. People get misguided through Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita they study in a different way. They think that Bhagavad Gita is for personality development. Bhagavad Gita is for killing the personality, not for developing the personality. But advertisement is like that. So majority of the people get misguided from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, there is no other book in the world so abused like Bhagavad Gita is. Swamis and the yogis, they all go and they teach all these kind of things to them. And they go to hell, they drag everybody else to hell as well. That's what it is. Krishna's words are so strong that it is not easy. It is not easy in the sense that, especially the way we are living in this world today, and all what is going on in this world, expecting someone to get that realization, it comes from several lifetimes. And in this life you notice some people with such a firm commitment to self-realization. When you see that, you can immediately understand that it has come from several lifetimes they have done this before, and it is a continuation of that in this life. Yeah, you will observe that if you are in that kind of environment, you will see that people with that commitment and self-realization. Yeah, so the thing is that Krishna is saying this here, that that will lead into self-realization at the end. Presence of Andarya means that, just like when the sky gets cleared, when the clouds disappear, in the same way, right? This is called Chidagasham. Andaryami is presence, is Chidagasham, right? And that is my Surubam. And this Chittam will change into Chit. Chittam will change to Chit. Chittam is when there is vasanas inside. When all the vasanas have gone, and when you have purified yourself to that level, it becomes Chitta. Chit. Chit means Bodham, consciousness, right? So at that time, you will see that this ahangaram, what we are thinking, you know Krishna has spoken about this in the Bhagavatam also, that ahangaram is there means that when you are affected by ahangaram, you will have all the other things. Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madham, malsaryam, all other things will be there. But ahangaram goes away, personality goes away, and then you realize that I am pure chaitanyam, pure consciousness, right? So, and that is what... That's what he said. You see that in the first time the 8-year-old Acharya Swamiji went to see Govinda Bhagavad Pada, right? When he met in Narmada river bank Govinda Bhagavad Pada, whom 8-year-old child, Govinda Bhagavad Pada asked him, "Who are you?" His reply is like this, the famous Nirvana Shalkam. He recited a verse which is famous, and what he said to him was that Mano buddhi ahangara chittani naham naja shrotra jukhve naja ghrana netre naja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. That was the answer. 8-year-old child is saying this. So, Manobuddhi, manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam is not me. Nor the senses, shrotram, jihvam, naja, ghrana, netram. None of the 5 senses, right? Naja, vyoma, bhumir, na, tejo, na, vayu. None of the 5 material elements is in me. Chidananda, rupam, shivoham, shivoham. I am that pure consciousness. That is Shiva. Consciousness is Shiva, yeah? So he is addressing as Shiva, that's all. It is. So, so why is this said like that? That's what Krishna says, that is the knowledge. So that knowledge has to be built up inside. This knowledge has to be built up inside. And you're taking shelter of that, like in that verse says. Yeah, you're taking shelter of that. Manobuddhi ahangara chittani naham. I am not none of these. That's the knowledge, what is required inside. And if you accept all that things, then ashrayam will come. Then the ashrayam will come. How they say like this, how this ashrayam happens, for example, yeah. I know when you hear all these things, you may start thinking, oh, is it possible for me to do all these things now? Mind tells you that, straight away. And then you give up ultimately. That's what normally happens. People will give up, right? People who have not given up, stuck to that very strongly, right? See, for example, this ashrayam is like this. You have to accept this first, what Krishna has spoken here. Yeah? What is that knowledge? I am not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not for me, for to enjoy. Our current concept is body is for me to live happily, enjoy with this body. This basic avidya, it is not easy to break through that. It's not basic, break through that, yeah? So, because of that, avidya inside is so strong, to cut through that avidya is very difficult, yeah? So, Krishna is saying here that, ashrayam will happen, idam jnanam upashritya. How do you take shelter of that knowledge? What that means is that this knowledge, if you constantly, if you say to yourself that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, that is what Krishna is helping us in several other places to make us conscious of that. He told us, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer, karma is not in me. All these things he has spoken. Karma bhala samyogam, subhavastu, everything is subhavam prakriti it is. Nothing to do with my real identity, who I am. So we have to build this awareness inside strongly. Only then you can move the next step. Yeah? So, and the example is like this, right? A man got selected to the police officer, right? So, before he became a police officer, you met him. He was like anybody else, right? But the moment he puts that uniform on, he changes. It's not. His nature changes. He feels that he is a police officer. He feels that he has the authority to establish the law and order in this world, right? So when he is talking as a police officer, he will speak with more authority because he has got that position, right? And once he removes his clothes and put on his normal clothes, right, then he is like anybody else. He won't be talking like a policeman. So the uniform brings a situation completely different. In the same way, when we have this body, mind, senses and all, we act in a particular way, right? But once you remove all these things from us, body, mind, senses and everything, then our nature changes. And that is why in Vedantam they call it as Adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means this, right? Adhyavasayam has got so much power. Yes, I mentioned before that if you have become a member of the temple management committee or you are in the council, temple council, or temple management committee, then when you come to the temple, you are always thinking, I am one of the management teams. I shouldn't be mixing with everybody. And there's a completely different mind. It is not his fault. It's that position does that to him. He feels that he has got the responsibility on his shoulders, right? So, and it can happen in any position. You go into working in a company, in an office, as a manager or any job, what you do, there's always identification with that. And you feel the responsibility on your shoulders and you act on behalf of the company in a particular way. So all this is the impact of that, right? When it will come, where it will come, it's very difficult to say. It's very difficult to say. So, for example, father, mother, they also feel the same way. I'm the father. I have to make sure that everybody is looked after properly. Family life, isn't it? It's his main pillar on which he is living. And similarly, the mother feels, oh, I have to take care of the children. It's their, my responsibility. So like this, it comes automatically, right? And, or similarly, husband, wife. Husband feels the same thing. I have to make sure that wife is happy. And wife feels that I am to take care of him. So where is all this coming from? It is all this Adhyavasayam. That's called Adhyavasayam. Adhyavasayam means within ourselves, without our knowledge, something comes in and takes over. Without our knowledge, right? So, and to become free from all this, Adhyavasayam, and to think that you are Brahman, that's not a lot of work to do. That's a long way to go. Remember Parikshit also when Parikshit got that, Aham Brahmasmi, right? So Aham Brahmasmi realization is a very high realization. Krishna has said that in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And that's what Parikshit got it also at the end. Now, yesterday I heard they have made with Aham Brahmasmi a bhajan club singing Aham Brahmasmi. So it has gone like that now. So this is how they trivialize everything in the spiritual life. They trivialize it like this. And these people with the guitar and the drums and all that thing together, a club is playing this Aham Brahmasmi with that. With the Aham. What will they get into their head if they do like this with Aham Brahmasmi? Yeah? So I can send you that if you want to hear Aham Brahmasmi, how it is played by them. And these are done by the devotees. Yeah. So they think they have become spiritual by singing Aham Brahmasmi like that. Aham Brahmasmi is one of the high real four Mahavakyams it is, right? And it is all pure realization it is. Simply by playing on the drums and the guitar, it's not going to come. It has to come from Aham Idam Jnanam Upashritya, Krishna is saying. So, if you ask a question, right, that the to remove all these different adhyasam from within us, right, and to get that status of Brahman realization, Aham Brahmasmi, right, Brahman, that is the adhishtanam, that's the adhishtanam foundation, right? In order to do that, all other identification has to leave us, right? And Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure Chaitanyam consciousness, and to take shelter, Krishna's shelter, right? He asked the question, is this all possible? If it is not happened, that means the end result is you have to be in distress. Suffering will come. And that is why you see that famous verse, Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani Jadare Shainam, Idi Samsare, Bahu Dustare, Kripaya Pare, Pahi Murare. You know, Ajari Swamiji is begging to Krishna, that it is a difficult thing. The only option is again birth and death, right? And that is samsaram. And show mercy, that is ashrayam. Taking Krishna shelter completely and asking, one side you try to cultivate this awareness inside, on the other side to ask Antaryami to help to develop this awareness inside. So there's a lot of work to be done. It's a work in progress, as they say. Spiritual life is always work in progress. The end is not going to come so soon. You know, so that's what. How will that happen? Guru Charanambujam Nirbhara Bhaktaha. That surrender to Krishna and to the spiritual master. And to develop that kind of bhakti to Krishna to ask for help, right? That's what he's saying here, that Chidananda Rupam Shivoham 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 Shivoham. Constantly saying that, right? So, that bhavam inside, if that bhavam is not there, then this knowledge won't work. The bhavam is required inside. Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham mean Manobuddhi Hangara Chittani Aham. That verse, what we have, first verse in Nirvana shall come, right? So, that bhavam is always necessary inside. What we have seen there, right? And Manobuddhi Hangara Chittani Naham. That means you got to keep yourself convinced that I'm not this mind, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. Four things. Subtle body. I'm not that. Then, naja shrotra jihve, naja krana netre. None of the senses is me. Then, nam ja vyoma bhumir na tejo na vayu. None of the five material elements is me. Who am I then? Chidananda rupam. Shivoham, shivoham. That is the thing that one has to repeat oneself. And there are six verses in that prayers, what Acharya Swamiji spoke to Govinda Bhagavalpada at that time. And so from that you can see that that anubhavam, experience inside, shivoham, shivoham, that anubhavam, if it is there, then that's what his answer was, right? And Acharya Swamiji said this to him, that my Acharya has spoken to me, and in that Bhajagovindam prayers is Guru Charanambuja Nurbhara Bhakta Samsarada Chirad Bhava Mukta Sendriya Manasa Neyama Devam Drakshasi Nijakhradayastam Devam. That's another verse there after the Murari verse. Yeah, Punarabhi Jananam Punarabhi Maranam. After that, at the end of that Bhajagovindam prayers, you will see that verse Guru Charanambuja Nurbhara Bhaktaha Samsaraja Rad Bhava Muktaha Sendriya Manasa Neyama Devam Drakshasi Nijakhradayastam Devam. So when it comes to that, when you become free from, more and more become free from mind, senses, and what will happen is your attention has gone inwards. Antarmukhatvam has come. And one who is present inside is Antaryami, Hari, or Krishna, or Narayana, or Shiva, whoever it may be, he starts seeing here. And for whom is all this easier? For whom? And that is what Upanishad is saying. Prabhupada has quoted that, Yasya deve parabhatti, yadha deve tadha guru, tatseva kadidehyartha prakashande mahatmana. That famous words from the Upanishad. It's referring to that state, right? So, rishis have shown us the way, what the path is, right? So, one who has got complete surrender and bhakti towards the form they are worshipping, Krishna or Narayana or Rama or Shiva, whomever that form may be, one who has got complete surrender and bhakti there, to a similar way, has equal devotion to his guru also, for them, this Vedanta Tattvam will manifest in him very easily, without much difficulty. So, in all these things, bhakti is the key factor, that bhakti. So, bhakti is to be understood properly. Yeah? Otherwise, we will have a problem, because bhakti we have is so much polluted, that word bhakti. Misunderstanding has come from bhakti. Bhakti means ashrayam. Ashrayam, what Krishna says here? Ashrayam means bhakti. Ashray means bhakti, right? So, in parampara level, bhakti, guru bhakti, ishvara bhakti, means without any selfishness, purely for the sake of self-realization. That is not considered selfishness. To realize the self is not selfishness. Realizing self is not selfishness, right? For that, you are willing to sacrifice everything else in life. That's bhakti, right? Otherwise, if you think that approaching Krishna for some happiness to stay in this body to make itself comfortable, then it is vyavaharam. Bhakti becomes vyavaharam then. Once you approach Krishna with that attitude to help you with all your... Krishna may help also. If your prarabdham allows that, Krishna will help you with that. But then it is not bhakti anymore. It is vyavaharam then. It's vyavaharam, right? So, even if I don't get anything, or if I've lost everything, but if it's bhakti, if you have lost it, right, and then that means you have lost everything. Lost everything. Bhagavad Charanamujam. So, that is why they say that if you take shelter, this taking shelter is an important thing. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna said that, is it not? Yeah, mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan mad ashraya, he is saying. That ashrayam. Bhagavadam finishes with ashrayam, 12th canto, is it not? So ashrayam is a very important aspect of spiritual life. Spiritual life basically means ashrayam. Ashrayam means bhakti. Ashrayam means bhakti. So, Bhagavad Charanam, taking shelter of Krishna. Vedam is considered to be Krishna's breathing. Krishna's breathing, right? So, this knowledge, what is spoken in the Vedam, which means the Upanishads, right, and will manifest, this knowledge will manifest in a person who is taking Krishna's shelter completely in him, right? Tasseva kadide hartha prakashande mahalmana. So, once it has manifested, then that knowledge, what has come inside, completely surrendered, tadalpmanam, tadbuddhaya, tadalpmanam, tannishta, talparayana, all that verse is referring to that, right? Then living like that and waiting for the prarabdham to finish while this is happening. And even if your prarabdham smashes you down completely, beat you up and makes you flat by beating up, right? You should still hold on to this knowledge. That's the most important part. Because prarabdham, you can't do anything about it. It will come in your life, it will beat you up. And it will flatten you sometimes. You just feel helpless totally. Even then, you should hold on to this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, right? And so that's what he's saying there. Sarge vinopajayande pralayana vyathanticha, right? And once you come to that, then there is no creation, maintenance, destruction, disappearance and all. He is in the Samahita Brahmanishta, right? So, for his realization, he will be fully stable in his realization. Krishna is saying, he will be very steady in his realization. If you look into the 10th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about avigambena yogena, he says. 10th chapter, if you look, you will see the 7th verse. Sovigambena yogena. Edam vipum, edam vibhudim yogam cha, mamayo veti tattvada. Sovigalpena yogena, yujyade natra samshaya. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind, engages in bhakti, of this there is no doubt. So that avigambam, avigalpam, avigambena yogena means that, Krishna called it like that, avigambena yogena means, yoga state where there is no movement anymore. You don't get shaken by anything, right? So, this yoga state is the solution to the problems, right? Like in the life, a lot of vigalpam has happened in all our life, right? Because there is so much vigalpam. You agree with that? Vigalpam means that you see yourself that you have no control over the life. Basically, it is like that. So many things are happening in life. What control have we got on anything? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The mind is dictating something and we are going and doing it and then feeling some shelter that way, thinking that it will protect me. But now you can see the world situation. Where is all the shelter for them? Those who are going through that problems, right? So, they are all vikalpam in life, yeah? So, Krishna's point is that this vikalpam has to be offered into a sacrifice of fire of knowledge. With the knowledge, you have to get rid of this vikalpam happening again. And so, normally we perform sacrifices. And now we are doing Narasimham. We are... our people are very strange, they are. They are performing this yagam now, Narasimha yagam, to stop the Iran-Iraq war, doing that. What kind of understanding is this? If this is how they are, then what do you say to them? And it says it only costs 1 lakh, not more than that. So you can do that if you want. So this is how people are like this. They are so ignorant about everything. Spiritual understanding is so poor that you don't do things like this. Yajnam, yagam and all is done for material happiness, although it is there in the karmagandam. But once you come to spiritual life, you don't get tempted by such things. Understand what Krishna is saying to us. He is saying this knowledge should protect you, not your sacrifice will protect you. He has never said that. He said this knowledge should protect. That is spiritual life. If you start feeling dependent on protection from the sacrifices, Narasimham, yagam. Everybody is doing this yagam now. And it's very strange to see that in all our temples, so many yagams are going on. As soon as you find a few customers, you put some few bricks together and get there will be someone as a priest to do it. And there will be so many customers also. And then there will be a lot of ghee will be brought. Ghee is plenty available. And then the fire burns and you throw the ghee and chant, look at the book and chant the mantra and put the ghee in and you pay the price. This is become spiritual life has come to this level. No, this is all silly. And so that's why this understanding what Krishna is saying is important. Idam jnana upashat, that knowledge should work for us. And with that knowledge, Krishna is saying, if you do that, all your vikalpam has to be sacrificed in that. All your vikalpam has to be sacrificed in that. That vigalpam should not come up again. Within again, more and more vigalpam should not happen, right? And that should be offered in the fire of knowledge inside. With the knowledge, that vigalpam should go. With the knowledge, it should go, right? So, actually, it is discussed here in Bhagavad Gita also. There is a thing called Avastambha Sutram. One of the sutram it is, right? And there is an adhikaranam discussion in that. What it says is that there is a talking about Agnihotri. Agnihotri means one who performs this Agnihotram regularly. Nitya Agnihotri, right? One who knows Antaryami is inside. He is the source of all knowledge. And able to offer all his vasanas into him, into that fire of knowledge, and destroy those vasanas. And finally, when all the vasanas disappear, finally you offer your ego, ahankaram also, into that. Such a person is proper Agnihotri, not the one who conducts a yagam on every day at home. He is not making much of a spiritual progress. That's the important thing, right? So, so that state, Krishna is going to talk about that in the next few verses. This yoga system, whereby you take shelter and come to the state of Gunatitan. Gunatitan means one who transcended the three modes of nature. A jnani who has transcended the three modes of nature, his state, Krishna is going to talk about it, that means not affected by the gunam, three modes of nature, and Krishna is going to talk about that from now on, because these three gunam, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, it covers the antaryami. It covers the antaryami, right? Therefore, there is a state when these three gunams doesn't cover, and continuously able to experience that Antaryami's presence as our real self, and that state is called Gunatitan, one who has crossed the three gunam. So, Gunatita state is that when you transcend the three gunam, and Krishna calls him in different names at different times. Sometimes he calls it him yogi, sometimes he calls him as bhakta, sometimes he calls him as jnani, prajna, and whatever name he called him, he is Jivan Mukta, one who has transcended these three modes of nature. And that's what he's going to talk about it from now on. And that is the symptoms of a jnani who has transcended these three modes, and that is sadhana for ordinary people, what he's going to say here. So, sadhana for a realized soul, it is siddhi. For us, it is sadhana. For a jnani, it is siddhi. Right? That's the only difference. Yeah. For him, siddhi. Siddhi means he has already got it, perfected it. For us, it is a sadhana. Right? So, strictly speaking, we are all jnanis. Never forget that. We are all jnanis. Right? But it is not coming out. It is inside, covered by the modes of nature. So, at that time, it is for that purpose only, to get that experience, Shastram is spoken. Otherwise, this Shastram, he is no use studying all this Shastram. Yeah. So we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.